This is the Quality News Network. A U.S.-Iranian committee will meet next week to find ways to stop the violence in Iraq. The two adversaries have met three times since May after a diplomatic freeze that lasted almost 30 years. In Baghdad this morning, a mortar attack on a prison complex killed at least seven inmates, wounding another 23. There were four other near simultaneous explosions in Iraq's capital. In South Baghdad, one of the city's most important oil refineries caught fire this morning. The U.S. says it was an accident. The Iraqis say it was an attack. In Basra, British Prime Minister Gordon Brown made an unannounced visit yesterday. British troops are handing over security operations to Iraqis later this month. London will reduce its troop strength from 4,500 to 2,500 by spring. There are unconfirmed reports that the shooter in the Colorado church shootings was a former member of the organization Youth with a Mission. He's been allegedly identified as Matthew Murray. 10 people were shot in two separate attacks and four died. Lewis Scooter Libby will not appeal charges of lying and obstructing an investigation. The former top aide to the vice president was found guilty in March, and then President Bush commuted his 2.5-year prison sentence. Libby's attorney said the appeal would be too much of a burden on Mr. Libby and his young family. Former Vice President Al Gore is in Oslo, Norway today to receive his Nobel Peace Prize. Gore shared the Nobel Prize with the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change for sounding the alarm over global warming and spreading awareness on how to counteract it. In Bali, the head U.S. negotiator at the world's largest climate change conference says next year the White House will reveal its own plan for reducing greenhouse gas emissions. America and China, top polluters, will continue to oppose mandatory caps. The Justice Department and the CIA's internal watchdog are investigating the CIA's destruction of videotaped interrogations of two suspected terrorists. White House lawyers are telling President Bush's spokeswoman not to answer specific questions on the tapes. At least 13 deaths are blamed on a fierce storm that hit the Plain States and the Northeast today. Ice and freezing rain blacked out more than 1.5 million homes and businesses.
For an insider's look at quality news coverage, be sure to read two of the latest books by award-winning journalist and author Tony Seaton. The Quality Interview and Don't Mess with the Press transport the reader into the world of journalism, including the ups and downs of network news coverage and what it's really like reporting the important events we see happening every day around the world. Don't Mess with the Press is an intriguing and engaging chronicle of Tony's early career, beginning with his start as a copy boy for ABC News back in the 1970s to working his way up to become producer of network news interviews for Barbara Walters. The Quality Interview is the definitive guide to the art of the interview. Learn interviewing basics and much more, including how to get crucial information out of even the toughest interview. For more on Don't Mess with the Press and The Quality Interview by Tony Seaton, visit our website at www.qualitynewsnetwork.com.
Washington Mutual plans to raise $2.5 billion through a preferred stock offering. WaMu also announced today it will close its broker-dealer business and mortgage finance lending operation. Swiss bank UBS announced it will write down some $10 billion of subprime mortgage holdings. Despite the announcement, U.S. shares of UBS rose 92 cents. A study out of Utah reveals that Mormons have less heart disease. Researchers attribute lack of heart disease in part to fasting. The study found that those who skipped meals once a month were about 40% less likely to be diagnosed with clogged arteries than those who did not regularly fast. Oil futures fell today. Several reports suggest domestic demand for oil and gas is falling as OPEC is boosting production. At the pump, gas prices fell 2 cents over the weekend to a national average of $3 a gallon. Gas prices have fallen nearly 11 cents since mid-November. Light sweet crude oil is currently trading down 42 cents at $87.86 a barrel. And on Wall Street today, the Dow Jones ended up 101 points, the NASDAQ was up 13 points, and the S&P 500 was up 11 points. We have more news on our website at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Claudia Eisman.
Okay, done! On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Can't turn our backs on them for a minute, can we? Welcome to Head On for a Monday night. I'm Bob Kincaid. The first and possibly only live program of the evening here on the network. Of course, we'll have Guy James back live tomorrow afternoon, as will be the indefatigable Mark Levine. Peter Godbold is off this evening. He of Strictly Confidential, the world's most fabulous LGBT conversation radio program. Because, as I remind you from time to time, there are a lot of people, well, everybody affiliated with this effort has a day job except me. My day job is this. This is all I do. Peter was off on his day job wrestling, wrangling, and otherwise lassoing errant servers. And so I just got an email from him saying that he is absolutely whacked. And we'll be back setting them up and knocking them down tomorrow evening, but not tonight. So tonight's Strictly Confidential will be a rerun of my choosing, which I have not yet chosen, and will probably choose, you know, like 2 minutes before I run it. I'm not sure about John Fox. He was planning on being live, but he's been dealing with some technical gremlins. You know, welcome to our world. You know, where a lot of stuff is held together with spit and toilet paper. It just is. So I don't know if John will be live. If John and Peter are both gone, I'm not going to do a horn section of one. Because you get 3 hours of me babbling my fool head off a night anyway, and God knows that ought to be enough for anybody. So this may be the only live program of the evening. Make the most of it. You know, let's start... Before we wade deep, deep down into the filth and muck that is the leftover detritus of any garbage that we will have to deal with from the weekend, let's have a little giggle first. Or maybe this is just more filth and muck. I don't know which. Depends entirely on how you want to view it. But from time to time, I mumble something like, you know, you couldn't pay to have this stuff written, and if you did, nobody would buy it because it's just too ridiculous. Therefore, it has to be real. You probably all know about this already, but for those of you who don't, it's worthwhile to have the audio because, again, you don't get this stuff just every day. White House spokesperson Dana Perineal... appeared on an NPR program this weekend called Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. And it's a fun little question and answer program. I guess you could say it's modeled on the style of BBC quiz programs. And it's, you know, it's enjoyable to listen to. It's right up there with Michael Feldman and What Do You Know and those Car Talk dudes, the Maliachi brothers. Bob and Ray, Tom and Ray, Ray and Ray, you know, the Car Talk guys. All of it, just excellent radio. So they invited White House spokesperson Dana Perineal to appear on the program. Or I'm sorry, maybe it's Perineum. Dana Perineum. Because she taint Scott McClellan and she taint Tony Snow. Okay, that's our blue humor for the evening. Just to remind you why I do call her Dana Perineum. But at any rate, she appeared on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. We have the audio of that, courtesy of the fine folks at Crooks and Liars. And, you know, you just got to hear it, too, because the debt, this is somebody, my God in heaven, this is somebody who occupies the position of speaking. You know, she's the flapper. She, for those of you familiar with the book Flat World, Flatland, whatever it was, she's the flapper for George W. Bush. And theoretically, you would think she would be chargeable with a certain, shall we say, minimum threshold of knowledge. She apparently is not. She apparently is not putting the lie to all the blonde jokes around there. I can only imagine her computer monitor is covered with whiteout. And you'll understand why when you hear this. From Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me on National People's Radio.
Where people who have risen high are sometimes brought low. It's called Not My Job. Usually playing our game, being asked ridiculous questions about completely random topics and then being mocked and punished for your wrong answers is a little unusual for our guests. But not today. Dana Perino, the White House press secretary, does that every day live on C-SPAN. Dana Perino, welcome back to Wait, Wait.
Thank you so much.
What a pleasure to have you. We're delighted to have you with us.
Thank you very much.
We wanted to talk to you a little bit about how you got to your position, and we understand that you have something in common with Barack Obama. You both wanted to be in the White House ever since you were in elementary school.
That's what my mom says, yeah.
What does she say?
You know, my mom had a friend who was, she worked in the Carter administration in the White House, and when I was 7 years old, we came to Washington, D.C. My dad had a conference, I believe, and that's back in the day when you took your family with you for these conferences. So my mom and I came, and my mom says that when I was at the White House, I said, someday I'm going to work here. But, you know, I didn't really remember that. But she.
So you were like, someday.
Someday.
You were 7 during the Carter administration?
Yeah. I know.
Don't
you just want to die?
I had a situation the other day when they said President Putin thought that our missile defense program was like the Cuban Missile Crisis. And so I got asked about the Cuban Missile Crisis, and I was panicked a bit because I really know about nothing about the Cuban Missile Crisis.
It was just last week.
It had to do with Cuba and missiles.
Yes, it had to do. It did, in fact, have to do with Cuba and missiles, Dana.
Yeah, so I'll have to get back to you on that.
Really?
Do you have to? Did you catch that? Let's back up just a
minute. That, but she.
So you were like, someday.
Someday.
You were 7 during the Carter administration?
Yeah. I know.
Oh.
I had a situation the other day when they said President Putin thought that our missile defense program was like the Cuban Missile Crisis. And so I got asked about the Cuban Missile Crisis, and I was panicked a bit because I really know about nothing about the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Wow. I had to hear it twice. And I've heard it about a dozen times already. I just, you know, I got an email from a listener saying, I heard it over the weekend and my car had to drive itself for about 6 miles. Okay, let's try not to overreact to this, Bob. The Cuban Missile Crisis happened in, caveman days, right? I mean, why bother? Yeah, but then again, you know, why am I not surprised? This woman, this Dana Perineum, she works for people who have no interest in history, who have said straight up that they create their own reality, and that while the rest of us are studying history, they'll be making it. This is embarrassing. I mean, I'm sorry. Can we go back to... Can there be some sort of a test? Some kind of a test just to establish a minimum threshold of competency before you get to become the flapper for the president, even if the president is an idiot? I mean, granted, George Bush probably doesn't know about the Cuban Missile Crisis either. But is that an excuse? Lord. Okay, let's go back to funny. Let's have a little bit more funny before I, blow a blood vessel out and have to up my blood pressure medicine.
It was just last week.
It had to do with Cuba and missiles.
Yes,
sure.
it did in fact have to do with Cuba and missiles, Dana.
Yeah, so I'll have to get back to you on that.
Really? I have to go Google this.
It's a tropical drink. You should try it on spring break.
Well, I came home and I asked my husband.
Yeah.
I said, wasn't that like the Bay of Pigs thing? And he said, oh, Dana.
Oh, Dana. Oh, you're so cute. It's the only reason I married you. God knows it wasn't for your brain, Dana. Oh, Dana. No, it's not quite like the Bay of Pigs. It's slightly different from the Bay of Pigs, although they did both happen with some tangential relationship to the island of Cuba. Oh, Dana. I can't do a good James Mason, but I can just imagine that he sounds like James Mason. Oh, Dana. See, like I said, I can't do one.
Were you alive when those hostages were in Iran?
I think she was.
She's young.
That's my first memory. My first memory of politics was the day that they were released.
Wow.
I love the idea of her as like...
Now there's one for you. Dr. Freud, emergency, white courtesy phone, Dr. Freud. That's her first political memory, the day the hostages were released by Iran. That sort of says something, doesn't it? Never mind that I don't know nothing about Cuba. She remembers the release of the hostages as a political act, and of course it was a political act, because we know now that Ronald Reagan, in the course of running for the presidency, had allowed his evil henchmen to cook up a scheme whereby our fellow citizens, our fellow Americans, had to rot in Iranian custody more time than they needed to in order for him to secure the White House, because they felt like it would be a bad thing if Jimmy Carter were actually to get the hostages home, that it would kill Reagan's chances of getting in the Oval Office and doing the evil, hateful, nasty, vile things to America that he went on to do.
E. Hauser of press secretary. It's like she has to go to school at the same time that she's spokesperson for the president. Dana, time to go to bed.
I am. I feel like I'm in school every day.
I bet. So you had a tough week, as you mentioned. It was a tough week for, you know, the president got up and he made a public appearance and he said something just wasn't true. I refer, of course, to when he gave out the wrong toll-free number for the mortgage helpline.
Yes.
He got up, he's like, we have a new toll-free line. People can call, get help, certain aspects of the mortgage crisis. And he said the number wrong.
Twice. Yeah.
Because we know one thing about the president. He doesn't waver in his opinion. So when the president gets up and he says something that's wrong, is it your job to go in and say, Mr. President, that wasn't correct?
Well, no, I think that somebody else caught it right away. He came out, and I had about 8 or 9 people all of a sudden rush to me and say, the president said the number wrong, and I just knew what that meant, which is somebody else has the other number.
Yeah.
And when the president of the United States gives a number out to people who need help, there's going to be a lot of people that call it, not just the people who need help, but all the reporters who are calling to see if the number works.
Really?
What was the number that he actually gave? Or
I heard
I don't know how much more of that I can stand. I don't know how much more you can stand. I'll stop and just save you the hassle for the moment. I've got this highfalutin profanity delay that sits here and that looks mockingly at me because, we don't use it. And there are times that I just want to let go with purely gratuitous swearing. Other times I just want to say something utterly short, minimalist, zen, like a little haiku with even fewer syllables, not even a whole line's worth. Like now, like when you realize that they can't get a phone number right, and they when they're not accidentally lying, they're deliberately lying, and lying is what they do. And you just want to look up and you want the biggest bully pulpit in the world, sort of kind of like what Al Gore had in his Nobel acceptance speech and his little conversation with, what was his name, Jonathan Mann from Chicken Noodle News International. And you want to just look straight into the camera and say, we're effed. We're effed. We're done. Stick a fork in us. Turn us over. We're done. America has been conquered by the stupids. America has been subjugated by the idiots. Mike Judge only got away with making Idiocracy because he said it in the future. Idiocracy is now, which is another thing entirely. It turns out, that if for those of you who have seen that brilliant, biting little film, one of the central, it's not a character, I guess, but a central feature of the film is this energy drink called Brondo. It mutilates your thirst. And in the future, America, people have become so stupid that they won't even drink water. All they do is drink, you know, corporate Brondo. And I'll go ahead and ruin the film for you. They've gotten to where Americans can't grow their own food because they're so stupid, they water their crops with Brondo, which, of course, salts the earth and nothing will grow in it. And it's all a big gag inside the film. You know, Brondo is everywhere. Guess what? Unless what I was reading was a complete spoof, and I couldn't find that it was, Brondo is about to go into production. No, really. Brondo is about to go into production. I guess because Fox, who also, you know, was responsible for the Idiocracy film, figured that they had something they could market by virtue of, because it's kind of, Idiocracy sort of risen to the status of a cult classic, if you will, with people sitting and watching going, that's us, and realizing that it's not really set in the future, it's really, you know, the future is now. So unless it was a complete spoof and I've been onioned, they're going to start marketing a thirst mutilator called Brondo. You can't pay to have this stuff written. And we're effed. And over the weekend, and I spend a considerable amount of time thinking stuff like this, I can't help wondering how, if it's even possible to rebound from all of this. Let's assume that we get a filibuster-proof majority in the Senate, that there's just one or two squeaky little weird-ass Republicans left in the House. Let's assume that we get a Democratic president, and let's assume right now that that president will win a second term in 2012. Let's assume all of that. 8 years of everything that we think that we need. Is it enough? Now, I'm not trying to negate anybody's activism or pee on anybody's parade or anything like that, but is it enough? Is 8 short years enough to turn around all the nasty evil that has been done by the Repiglicans since, well, about that time when Dana Perineum first started paying attention to what she calls politics? You know, since 1981. Is it enough? You know, because don't start with me about, you know, what you think of Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton was a Democratic president who was elected to 2 terms, who made some, what I think are rather profound mistakes. I think about welfare reform. I think about NAFTA. But largely, he tried to govern on some Democratic Party principles. And he spent a lot of time running to stand still. because there was so much filth that was it was just left neck deep by the two Reagan and one first Bush administrations, that just trying to fix what was broken left very little time for improving what wasn't. And the thing is, as I've noted in the past, every time we look up and go, well, you know, it can't get any worse than fill in Republican president's name here, they prove to us how utterly, utterly wrong we are. We thought it couldn't get any worse than Nixon, we got Reagan. We thought it couldn't get any worse than Reagan, we got Bush 1. We thought it couldn't get any worse than Bush 1 and Dan Quayle, for the love of God, and we got W. And you know what? Out there in the field contending for the Republican presidential nomination, there are candidates who will make some people look back with fond and teary-eyed reminiscence on the W administration. You think I'm kidding. I'm not. Reverend Huxterby? Reverend Huxterby, who in order to get back a little bit of, get a little political payback against his fellow Hope, Arkansas native Bill Clinton, insisted that a rapist be released on parole from the Arkansas prison system, who then went on to kill one and quite possibly two women. Yeah, him. The guy, well, I've got a story here in the stack. Mike Huxterby says that he will not retract his statement that in 1992 he said people with AIDS, HIV should be quarantined. It's 2007, and he will not even say that that was a mistake. He just, I might have said it a little different this time. Reverend Huxterby bears all the earmarks of making George W. Bush look like Albert Flippin' Einstein. Giuliani? Yeah, that'll be nice. I mean, I wonder if the present Mrs. Giuliani is a little nervous now that he's said that that mistresses need Secret Service protection too. Doesn't bode well for marriage number 3 or 4 or 5 or 12 or 962 or whatever it is for Giuliani right now. Romney? We spent almost an entire program on Willard Romney the other night. He too will make George W. And maybe that's the plan. Maybe it's sort of a propping up of the legacy of George Bush by virtue of some twisted reverse osmosis or whatever scientific term that I'm looking for and lacking. That he will be made good. He will be made to look good by virtue of how damn sorry whoever comes after him would be. Now, I don't apply that same standard to either Senators Clinton or Obama or Biden or Dodd or Congressman Kucinich or Governor Richardson. I don't apply that standard to them because they would show what morons the Bush administration have been, what absolute unmitigated idiots they have been. But even so, one begins to wonder if we've got enough time, if it is possible to undo, at the same time, undo all the evil that they've done and fix the stuff that needs fixing at present and into the future. I'll be honest. I don't know. And see, our willingness to sit and laugh at Dana Perineum while she says, you know, basically, don't know nothing about history. Cute song, crappy reality. Remember, the whole thing proceeded from a statement made by the Russian strongman Vladimir Putin, who said that our current missile defense system is reminiscent of the Cuban Missile Crisis. Which it is. It's an attempt to leverage a technological threat against another portion of the country. And it just... And the best you can come up with is I had to go home and ask my husband, Cuban Missile Crisis, is that like the Bay of Pigs? I mean, God, I could run audio for you from that great, great 1978 comedy classic, The In-Laws, with Alan Arkin and Peter Falk, where Peter Falk, where Alan Arkin, the mild-mannered dentist, goes into Peter Falk's office and sees a picture of JFK on the wall, and it says, "To Vince, at least we tried. Yours truly, Jack." And later on, he says, "What is that about?" And Peter Falk says, "Ah, that's the Bay of Pigs." "You were in on the Bay of Pigs?" "In on it. It was my idea." Which, at that point, if you've never seen the film, you should, and don't bother with the remake with Michael Douglas and Albert Brooks. No, the original is precious. But that was funny. Because there was some historical context there. It worked within the context of the show. This is the real world. And the spokesman person lady for the President of the United States isn't exactly sure what Vladimir Putin meant when he said that our missile defense system is reminiscent to him of the Bay of Pigs. Or, I'm sorry, see, she's got me doing it, of the Cuban Missile Crisis. Makes me very, very, what shall we say, nervous? Let's try the phone. Hi, who have I got?
Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
I hope I'm not on live because I'm calling regarding...
You are on live.
Oh, my gosh. I'm not even listening to the program.
No, that's okay. Bring anything to the table. You know, everybody drives this bus.
Really? Really? Well, who am I speaking with?
Bob Kincaid.
Bob, this is Larry. Larry Sanders.
Oh, hey, Larry. How are you?
I'm fine, and I'm so sorry because I'm not listening to your program right now. And I just dialed the number because of a glitch that I had in sending you another email. Apparently I'm calling the wrong number.
This is the studio line. This is the line that works 24/7. I mean, yeah.
I'm embarrassed that I'm on live and don't even know what the subject matter is. This is horrible.
Well, you know, hey, that Larry, you're no different than me. I mean, the five minutes before the show started, I had no idea what the subject matter was.
it's Christmas. It's not April 1.
Yeah, I know, but you know, I just wait for the spirit to move me. You know, grab the snake, see what it says to me, and you know, go from there.
Well, you know, my dilemma is here. I added a postscript and. And like before, you found I had problems, and you guys found my initial response in your spam filter.
Oh yeah. To the Bobby Vitteritti interview on Strictly Confidential. Right. Sure.
Certainly. So, and I'm going through the same thing again, and I just don't know what to do. I mean, I'm beside myself.
People who are intimately associated with the maintenance of the blog are hearing you right now, Larry, and I'll bet you it's getting fixed.
Well, you know what? I just submitted a postscript, the second one I've done today. The first one posted, and it did not. And then when I came back 5 minutes ago, it was gone. So this one again. It's showing error. Please type a comment, but the you know the post is it's completed. Now, if I submit it after I'm seeing the error, as I experienced with the first post I did today, which did not post obviously, it will post, but then it'll just fall away, it'll disappear. And last week apparently it did go into spam filter. So I'm wondering, should I go ahead and submit it and then.
Yeah, because at the very least we can search it down.
Okay, all right, I'll do that. And my apologies, I should be a little more careful as to what number. Well, you said it's the same number, so
yeah.
So I'm found not guilty on this one.
Yeah, you're so not guilty.
Okay. All right, well, I wish you well.
And, so the next time there's a bee under your bonnet or a burr under your saddle or whatever, you know, use the same number. That's what this is all about. It's conversation radio.
I will do that. And to all your listeners, a happy holiday.
Oh, thanks. And to you too, Larry. Take care.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye. Bye now. Okay, blogging crew, news ninjas, you hear the nature of the problem. I'm sure, God, you're the best there are on the planet. I'm sure you'll sort that out. Let's see who we've got here. Welcome to the program.
Oh, hey, Bob, how you doing?
Hey, Jim, what's up?
All right. What were you saying about Vladimir Putin and the missile thing?
Well, he said that our missile defense system, you know, the Star Wars hoosis, is reminiscent of the Cuban Missile Crisis, and I tend to concur.
Our Star Wars, you mean the thing that was proposed by Reagan back in 1982?
Well, the thing that George Bush has spent billions on, too. You know, where we shoot down incoming missiles that have radio beacons on them that are transmitting the exact location of the missile,
well,
and it works great.
Using lasers and particle beams and things of that nature?
Well, mostly we're just shooting them out of the sky with missiles right now. We haven't gotten to the Johnny Cosmic Ray part of it yet.
Well, that's what Reagan had proposed in 1982. I remember they wanted to use particle beams and...
Yeah.
Other types of weapons, very sophisticated, that would cost a lot of money, and of course it sends the weapons into an absolute furor, because if it could be deployed, then it would completely put them in a very bad position. But I can tell you something about Mr. Putin. Number one, he is no fool.
No.
He is a very, very capable statesman, and he knows what he's doing, and under his tutelage, and under his control, that country has just, and I think I said this the other night, rebounded light years ahead of what they were back in 1991. They're doing well.
And they're well on the way back, because Putin has an ugly little authoritarian streak, but most of their leadership does, I think. And they're well on their way back to where they came from.
I think where they came from is going to be a lot better off than perhaps where...
I don't mean goom department stores and a bunch of people in nondescript clothing. I mean in terms of a crackdown on any democratic notions and, you know, that sort of thing. But, you know, we're the United States, and we've had two bogus presidential elections in the last 8 years, Jim, so we can't very well talk about democratic principles.
No, I really don't think we can. I don't think we can point the fingers at anybody anymore, and if we do, people are going to laugh at the very hypocrisy of the situation. I mean, you know, it's just that's.
But what bugs me is that once upon a time we had the Cold War to worry about. Now apparently we're going to have the Cold War, a new one, and the whole so-called terrorism threat to war. So we haven't actually gone backwards. We've gone backwards exponentially, if you know what I mean.
Well, we certainly haven't gone forward, that's for sure. And, you know, I would like to think that we would have a Russia that would be our friend, because let's face it, we really can't afford not to have them as a friend, if you know what I mean.
But we,
because
true.
I don't think this country now could sustain the type of contest that we went through with the Soviets in the 1980s to try to win another Cold War the way that, you know, to spin them out of existence is exactly what they did, and to wreck their economy. That's not going to happen again. And people might think it will, but it's not. I mean, they are much wiser for having had the experience. They're not involved in any Afghanistan as they were in 79. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and that's the other side of it. You were talking about you would hope that they would be an ally and a friend. And I think it's much more easy for them to be that, Jim, when we're not mucking around in their backyard.
Well, that's exactly
because
right.
The Hindu Kush, Afghanistan, all of those various and sundry Istans, the Iranian border, that's all the chessboard of the great game.
Well, that is in their sphere of influence.
And so when we go playing in it, we're kind of poking at them with the sharp stick.
Well, you know, we have our Monroe Doctrine, which covers South America. and they have their own doctrine, which may cover areas that are surrounding their country, and I cannot blame them. And I hope we have the sense that to realize that one equals the other, and we just better try to get along with each other and hopefully help each other, because it could be of immense benefit to one another. It really could.
And unfortunately, we probably will. Well, just given every
the people who are
involved in the Bush administration, and the Bush administration's heavy investment in either Rudy or Romney as being, meet the new boss, same as the old boss, indicates, Jim, that they have no interest in that level of cooperation because their entire raison d'être is bellicose and confrontational.
Well, you know, I'm not the smartest guy in the world. I'm not a politician. My experience in government has never been at their level, and I'm glad it really hasn't, because at least my experience with government and my service to the government has been honest. But these people are being totally and completely intellectually dishonest with themselves and the nation they allegedly are trying to serve. Yet they assume these attitudes, which are inimical to the best interests of this country and the world.
Yeah, but, you know, you talk about what you are and what you aren't. Jim, that's the problem. You know, I had this conversation with a gentleman the other night. I think it was Thursday evening. It used to be that we thought that the president should be the smartest guy in the room. Now we're at a place where we just want to, you know, the American electorate is happy to put a guy in the White House as long as they think that they'd like to have a beer with him.
Well, I want to ask you one thing. What good do they think that having an adverse relationship with Putin's Russia is going to do them? What could possibly come of it?
Jim, you're asking a rational question of people who are fundamentally irrational. Okay? What good do they think can come of it? They don't necessarily think that way. They want to be the bully on the block. They want to go push people around. They want to show, you know... They want to, we whipped the Soviets once and we'll whip them again. We won, you know. Didn't you get the memo, Jim? Reagan won the Cold War.
Horseshit.
Yes.
Horseshit.
Yeah, but I mean.
Horseshit.
Okay, that's three. Do you want to go for four? But it's the truth.
Horseshit.
I mean, that's what they say, Jim.
I know. I cannot believe people could be so woodenly stupid and stupidly wooden. Is to believe all of that and to deify Ronald Reagan, you know. But if they want to do that, that's fine. They have a right to do that, I guess. I mean,
well, I guess they have a God-given right. Certainly, it's not constitutional to be a moron. But yeah, ask any right winger, ask any Republican. You know, we've got this mindset about us that, you know, they're kind of down and out, and you know they've given up and lost. Look at the numbers that Reverend Huckabee is picking up in his presidential bid.
He's doing quite well.
He's doing very well. And all of a sudden, those fundies that we thought were down for the count and on the mat have pulled one shoulder up off of it, and they're refusing to be down for the count, and they're excited. And now all of a sudden, the evangelical values voter is motivated again. And this is the same crowd. I mean, Jim, you don't. I wouldn't have you see what comes into my inbox today on any given day. But I get email alerts from right wing websites. Okay. And one of them, now that it's the holiday season, they're hustling stuff from John Wayne, Charlton Heston, and I even saw Give a Piece of Ronald Reagan This Christmas.
Do what now?
Give a piece of Ronald Reagan this Christmas. You know,
I'd like to give him something, a piece of my mind.
Well, yeah, if I ever find myself in the... Well, never mind, I'm not going to say it. But you get they've deified the man. I mean,
I never have.
He wasn't even really in the military, and they named a freaking nuclear aircraft carrier after him.
Yeah, it's Ronald Reagan or whatever it's called. Yeah, it's 6,000 people on board that.
God, it's a Nimitz class. I mean, you know,
it's a huge ship.
But these people ask him. Ronald Reagan was the greatest president we ever had. Watch one of these Republican debates. It's like a séance. They're trying to channel him.
I never had a shot fired at him in anger, and all he did was make movies.
Yeah.
That was it.
But they'll tell you. You ask him, Jim, they'll tell you. He won the Cold War. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this here wall.
Well, isn't it Huckabee the one who believes that the world was created 6,000 years?
That's the boy.
Well, I'm going to end on this, though. Andrew Jackson still believes the world was flat. What can I tell you? So this is not without precedent, Bob.
It's not without precedent, but it's a much more dangerous world than what Andy lived in.
Yes, it is. And still, he did believe the world was flat, and I don't know what else to say. I don't have anything
to say. No, he probably believed the world was 6,000 years old. There wasn't a bunch of data to correct him at that point in time.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I'm just going to go. I think I'm going to have a drink. I'll see you later, buddy.
Have one for me, Jim.
Good night.
Thank you. Bye now.
Bye.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this ketchup that's a vegetable. Mommy!
Let's see who's on the phone.
Here.
Hello?
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
How you?
What's up, Susan?
Well, just wanted to tell Larry his post is up.
Oh, bless your heart. Thank you for finding it and fixing it. I don't know what this problem is, but I hope we can make the problem itself go away. We'd like for people to actually blog with us.
Yeah, I'm going to have to try and figure out why it's going into the spam filter. I don't understand that. But I did get it, you know, it is up, so he doesn't have to worry about that.
That's some Jim Dandy spam filter we have.
Hey, it's better than porn, believe me. You would not believe the porn poor Peter was getting. And the bad part was it was all straight porn.
Well, see, I mean, one man's nightshirt's another man's pajamas. I might have liked that porn, Susan.
Okay,
sorry.
I got to tell you.
All right.
I got to tell you. Dear old Dana and her comments about the Cuban Missile Crisis. Oh, crumb.
Hurts, don't it?
I can't decide if it hurts because it makes me feel old, because I can remember Jack Kennedy on the TV doing his speech about the crisis.
Yeah, the one that made all the grown-ups' bowels turn to water, that speech? Yeah.
Yeah. And, or if it bothers me because it makes me feel old.
Well, no, it bothers you. I don't think it bothers you for either of those reasons, Susan. I think it bothers you because for the same reason that bothers me. I mean, I wasn't born when the Cuban Missile Crisis happened, okay? But...
Yeah, well, I was brown. Yeah.
But you, no, work with me here. What bothers you... Jesus, you know, what am I, Frasier now? I'm analyzing. What bothers you is the fact that you know it, and if you cast about a little bit, you could find a 13-year-old who knows it. I've talked to my kids about it.
Yeah.
There are all kinds of people who are younger than the date that it happened who know about it. And what bothers you is that there's somebody speaking literally for the President of the United States
who hasn't got the intellectual curiosity to find out.
Bingo! I'll get the toaster in the mail.
Right. And, you know, and there's one other thing that bothers me. Because I was part of this historical period, when I got a little bit older, I started digging. And I knew some people who were in SAC at the time. And therefore, I know exactly how close we were.
Mm-hmm. Again, water, bowels. Yeah.
Yeah. It scared crap out of me, even years after the fact.
I know.
Because we were literally seconds from dropping bombs. I don't mean the airplanes were ready to go.
No. They were flying circles at their failsafe point.
Yeah.
That's why movies like Failsafe and Dr. Strangelove had such an amazing resonance with the American people back then.
Yeah.
And now we're in the thrall of people who don't know what that period was all about, Susan, who watch something like Dr. Strangelove and think it's a drama and not a comedy.
Yeah, or worse yet, they don't want to know.
Well, I guess there's that too. But if you don't want to know, you know, just I mean, because, you know, Dana Perineum, she brought the subject up. It's not like they sort of led her like a sheep to slaughter. No. She brought that up. You know, in fact, I had to ask my husband, haw, haw, haw. Ain't that funny?
She has no conception of what it was like. Or all she has to do is read a history book.
Can I have, Susan, I'm going to ask you if you will indulge me in a moment of extreme sexism.
Sure, go ahead.
She better be awful damn good in bed.
Bob, she better be magical in bed, because she sure as hell ain't worth anything as far as her brains are concerned.
You know, I had a buddy once upon a time who would make a reference, and he said it's kind of, and he was referring to a part of the male anatomy. He said it's kind of like having a 2-inch. It's all right around the house, but it ain't worth a damn on the road. And this is the female of feminine equivalent. Oh, boy, am I going to get in trouble. I'm so going to get in trouble.
Dana Perineum is a walking sexist cliche. I'm sorry, but that's the way it is.
I mean,
the walking Stepford wife.
Well, I mean, I'm trying to think of all the things that, you know, have and maybe this is patently unfair, Susan. I'm trying to think of all the things that have kept Agnes and me together over the years. We like each other on a number of levels, and sometimes we hate each other's guts on even more.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, we enjoy each other's company, and we enjoy having conversations. And there are other things that we enjoy, too. And I'm not a bad cook, and she's a great mommy. And I'm just trying to think of what the list must look like for Mr. Perineum.
What would you talk to her about?
See? Okay, thank you. You've rescued me from my sexism, because that's always been at the bottom. You know, because I don't care how hot, sooner or later a conversation's going to take place. And frankly, I don't care how good the sex is. If the conversation isn't worth a damn, the sex is kind of negligible, at least in the way my tiny mind works. But you know, I don't want to turn this into the Stern Show or anything. But what's left? What for what other reason could he possibly be married to this moron?
Unless he is the type that needs a Stepford wife.
Well, and she said, you know, I asked.
On her face.
Well, that's what she said. I asked my husband, and you know, the Cuban Missile Crisis, is that like the Bay of Pigs and his only end? Oh, Dana.
Yeah, she's a Stepford wife.
3.5 feet tall, flat head, no teeth. I mean, you know, that's all I can figure.
That's one of the scariest movies for any woman, anyway.
Well, yeah, I mean, she's living The Handmaid's Tale or something, I guess. I don't know.
Well, no, not really, because The Handmaid's Tale, she fought back in her own way.
Yeah, but I mean the basic premise.
Yeah.
Of, but you know, subservient, mindless women, you know.
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, I felt really, really funny and sort of bad about saying any of that, but, you know.
Why? It's the truth.
Well, yeah, but I try to avoid that kind of thing. I don't even like saying the B word on the air, because that's generally demeaning.
I don't know if she is that, but I do know that she is a prostitute for sexism.
Well, was that a poster child for sexism?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, because you broke up there.
I mean, she's a stereotype.
Yeah.
Every joke you could come up with, a sexist man could come up with, is wrapped up in one great big package. It's called Dana Perineum. It's her. She may have what's nominally a responsible job, but she's just a mouthpiece. She's nothing.
Too close to the truth for my comfort, Susan. I got to roll on. I'm going to see if I can get one more call in here, if it's actually
okay.
A caller.
You have a nice day, and love to Agnes.
Yeah, and thank you for the get-out-of-jail-free sexism card. I appreciate it.
You're more than welcome.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Somebody's going to hate me for that. I just know it. Hey, welcome to the program. Who have I got?
Hi.
Well, hello, Juanita.
Golly, I can't get over you. I think she's a tough little cookie.
Dana Perineum?
When you were talking, you know, Miss Perineum.
Well, okay. I mean, you and I must define tough little cookie and marshmallow fluff with the same words.
Well, I think she knows how to get ahead, you know? What she thinks is ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I've worked around people like her, and I know people that...
You mean she'd run over her sainted grandmother in the middle of the road if she thought it would advance her career?
Yeah, uh-huh. And I have, and there are people even should know this history that don't know anything about it either. I've even met daughters don't know what perineum is.
Yeah. Okay, but at least you're in on the joke, so that makes me feel better.
Yeah, that's neat. But, can I talk to you about something that was on my mind?
You absolutely can.
That's
Reverend Huckabee. We always have to refer to him as Reverend Huckabee. The American people need to understand that a fundamentalist preacher wants to be president.
Yeah. Well, Jesus said not to call anybody Reverend, didn't he? I don't know. But anyhow, I was hearing them talking about why he's so popular now, and I think one thing has been left out in the things that I've been hearing is that he's being supported by people like Falwell's son. You know, Falwell Jr.
Well, yeah, there's
where his daddy left off.
Well, that's what we started out with talking about with Dave Silverman the other night from American Atheist. The other thing that I didn't realize until I read a Newsweek profile on him this weekend, Juanita, is that this guy started out as an intern, acolyte, whatever, for none other than, I'm sure you'll recognize this name, some others may not, none other than James Robison.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Oh, yeah.
That's whose ministry he started out in, and then he branched out to have his own TV and radio evangelical empire. But, you know, you go backwards from James Robison. Guess who bailed out James Robison when he got into money troubles?
Who? I forgot.
The Reverend Sun Myung Moon.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about it. And also Falwell.
And Falwell. And so look who's their fair-haired boy.
And who goes to... the parties. I've got pictures.
Oh, really?
Mom and Dad. Kettle. You know who? Babson W.
Oh, yeah, sure.
W, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, and another thing I found out, and I'm sure you know this too, I just found out today or yesterday, I've got my days mixed up, but anyway. This thing about him pardoning that DuPont or whatever.
DuMond, yeah.
Do you know the background to that?
Yes, I do. It's horrifying.
It is. Clinton hating.
Yeah.
That was a distant cousin of Clinton's.
And they couldn't.
He
and
had
they
to be lying.
Yeah. Sickening, isn't it?
Can you believe? I'm telling you.
And of course, Reverend Huckabee says, well, they're just trying to politicize that. I didn't have nothing to do with it.
Oh, no.
But he's a preacher, Juanita, so he can...
That's the two mothers who he murdered, their daughters.
Yeah, so, but he's a preacher, so he can lie with as much ease as he can breathe.
But he knows how to work a lot of these crowds that don't... also, I saw him talking to some college kids. And I said then, you know, if they had any sense, that's who they'd back. Not that I want him. I don't mean that. But you know what I mean. He's right along their lines.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about the right-wingers.
Yeah, the funders.
You know, the ones that... But that, you know, can't understand. Some of them can't understand. The commentators can't understand why he's up so high, so right at the present.
Oh, I understand it completely.
All he had to do
was show a little bit of momentum, and all those knuckle dragging, mouth breathing fundamentalists were going to come running to his side.
They're going to get
and they've got and they're highly motivated for a number of reasons. One, they want to keep Hillary from being president because she's a communist.
Yeah.
So you got that going. Yeah, so you got that going for. Plus, they want to stop Giuliani and Willard Romney.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Because on the one hand, Giuliani is just, you know, he's a Republican antichrist, and they call him a liberal, these fundies do. And Willard Romney is a member of a strange, cultish religion that they wouldn't trust as far as they could throw him.
Right.
So all Huckabee had to do was show the faintest glimmer of hope, and bang. And the thing is, if he wins big in Iowa, and comes in as much as second in New Hampshire, he may become the juggernaut of the Republican campaign. And all of a sudden, yeah, McCain and Giuliani and Romney, for all their millions and billions, just fade away as the right wing is once again, the Republican Party is once again taken hostage by right wing fundamentalists.
When you know, and another thing, now this does connect. It sounds like I'm changing the subject, but it does connect to the whole situation. You know the program Young Turks on.
Oh, sure.
America?
Yeah.
I love Think. And, anyway, he was talking this morning about some people. I don't know if it was one person or what. I didn't get the whole thing, but anyway, about, they were saying, well, you know, Bush is a pretty good guy. I said, he was probably like the Democrats who voted for the war. He was probably lied to, and he didn't know any better. And I said, where do you get that idea? And he said, well, if he had been involved in lying about it, the Democrats would have impeached him by now. And he said, this is getting to be an attitude.
Makes me want, oh my God, that kind of talk just makes me want to take my, that kind of talk just makes me want to take my shoes off and beat myself in the head.
Me too.
I know.
But think about it. I mean, it makes sense, doesn't it? But he actually had at least one person, I don't know if it was one person or others, to say that, and it makes sense they've got time, you know, and our people are not doing
the rewriting. The rewriting of the history has begun, and it actually began a couple of years ago, and it's only going to get weirder. So all we can do is batten down the hatches, Juanita.
We can't count on having a Democrat the way the Democrats are acting, the way the ones in office are acting.
I know.
Give in to Bush.
And yeah, that's in the stack too, Juanita. I got to roll along. It's news time, but thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Take care.
You too.
Bye now.
Bye.
Seriously, get ready, because the Stalinist historical revision has already begun, but it's going to get going in earnest here fairly soon. You're listening to America's Liberal Voice. It's listener-supported, listener-created. You're listening to The Horn. We'll be back after the news. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is for you, Mr. Perineum.
Walking in the rain and the snow when there's nowhere to go, when you're feeling like a part of you is dying and you're looking for the answer in her eyes. You think you're gonna break up, then she says she wants to make up.
This is the Quality News Network. A cold snap and ice storm have sliced through America's heartland, closing down highways and airport runways in the Midwest. Widespread power outages are reported. Up to 10 deaths are being blamed on the weather. Investigators in Colorado are trying to determine whether two weekend shooting sprees at evangelical churches are related. 10 people were shot in Sunday's deadly attacks. 5 people died, including the gunman in the second assault, who was killed by a security guard. He has been identified through court papers as Matthew Murray. Former media mogul Conrad Black was sentenced to 6.5 years behind bars today. Black was convicted of obstruction of justice and of defrauding shareholders at Hollinger International. He remains free until ordered to report to prison in 3 months. Former star NFL quarterback Michael Vick was sentenced to 23 months in prison today. Vick reported to prison late last month after admitting to involvement in an illegal dogfighting ring. U.S.-led troops have retaken the last major Taliban stronghold in southern Afghanistan. Fierce fighting over the weekend killed more than a dozen insurgents and civilians. One NATO soldier died. In Baghdad this morning, a mortar attack on a prison complex killed at least 7 inmates, wounding another 23. There were 4 other near simultaneous explosions in Iraq's capital. In southern Baghdad, one of the city's most important oil refineries caught fire this morning. The U.S. said it was an accident. The Iraqis say it was an attack. In Basra, British Prime Minister Gordon Brown made an unannounced visit yesterday. British troops are handing over security operations to Iraqis later this month. London will reduce its troop strength from 4,500 to 2,500 by springtime. In northwestern Pakistan, a suicide bomber smashed into a school bus this morning. The attacker died. 9 people were wounded, including 5 children. As expected, talks between Serbian and Kosovar leaders over Kosovo's future have broken down. Today was the deadline for an agreement. According to Sweden's foreign minister, all EU members, the only exception is Cyprus, are willing to accept Kosovo's independence without UN support. You're listening to the Quality News Network. We'll take a break and be right back.
You know you can depend on QNN for honest news. Now we want you to know about an honest source of information on one of the country's most desirable vacation destinations, Carmel by the Sea on California's beautiful Central Coast. That source is the best address in Carmel, carmel.com. Just a few simple clicks and you're visiting a website that mirrors all that Carmel stands for. Quality, character, tradition, beauty, the great outdoors by the sea, cultural heritage, and the best shopping, charming inns, superb dining, world-class art, music, and theater, a cornucopia of delights. So when you're planning your next getaway, go to the best address in Carmel, carmel.com, for tips on everything Carmel. Then put that information to good use by visiting Carmel by the Sea for an unforgettable getaway. Carmel.com.
The launch of the space shuttle Atlantis has been postponed until next month. That after a critical fuel gauge failed yesterday, again delaying the shuttle's takeoff. Former Vice President Al Gore picked up the Nobel Peace Prize today in Stockholm, Sweden, along with his co-winners. The South Korean government has declared a state of disaster for a coastal area hit by Friday's oil spill of some 2.7 million gallons of crude. Tourism, the seafood industry, and wildlife all threatened by the wave of sludge washing ashore. Barclays Bank also announced a write-down today as a result of the international credit troubles led by the subprime difficulties. Barclays says it will lose $408 million. Pepsi and Israeli food company Strauss are launching a joint venture to produce a Sabra brand of snack spreads like hummus and baba ganoush for U.S. and Canadian markets. Social networking service iMeme has reached an agreement with the Universal Music Group to permit users to freely listen to its portfolio. Light sweet crude oil trading at $87.86 a barrel, gold at $813.50 an ounce. At today's close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 101 points to end at 13,727, NASDAQ up 12, the S&P 500 up 11. Always more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Hey,
Well, that was a plenty invigorating first hour. I hope the second one is every bit as good. And we will find out rather quickly. We will, here at about 10 minutes past the hour, because we're going to go straight back to the phones, and we are joined by Chris calling from Oregon. Hey, Chris, welcome to the program. Thanks for calling.
Well, hello, Bob. My question really has to do with the NIE. We seems like the current NIE says that we knew we didn't know, supposedly, but our conclusion is that back 4 years ago, the Iranian government quit all manufacturing or their whole program. My question is, with 16 agencies, the question I have would be, some of you were right back then. Who was right and who was wrong back then in 2004? So at 2004, when you look at all the 16 agencies, which ones were wrong and why? Not who was right, but who was wrong and why. And then in 2005, who was wrong and why? Because the truth was they didn't have any. So any decisions that we made that they had was on false evidence and not the truth. So if the truth was 4 years ago that they didn't have any, and we've had all this hype about they do, well, why? When they didn't have it, it had to be manufactured or made up.
Or, well, is it possible, Chris, that it was simply, much as was the case with Iraq, ignored in the face of a greater desire to have a bellicose, you know, saber-rattling casus belli with the Iranians? Because that really, you have gotten to the heart of it. That is the very essence of the inquiry that should be engaged in right now, and that is, when did it change? Who changed it? Who was getting it right? Who was getting it wrong? And who managed to sit on this and hide it? And, you know, one of the things that seems readily apparent is that Dick Cheney's office was part and parcel of the whole process, you know, of keeping it suppressed.
Oh, exactly. So I'm looking at the 16 individual agencies, what they are, is we should have a category of here's the 16 and which ones at that time with an X or a check thought that Iran was a threat. You know, and you'd go through and say this one never thought they were a threat, this one thought they were a threat, but then because of this, and then we go through the 16 agencies and find out that, I don't think that was, you know, for them to say new evidence. What do you mean new evidence? 15 agencies said they didn't, and one said they did, and now the new evidence is that one agency said they didn't? That would be like insanity.
Well, yes, it would. And the other thing that comes to mind is that we are all, and this is sort of along the same lines, but not really, of what I was touching on in the first hour, Chris, and that is don't assume that these people are ever down for the count, because we've got a very dear friend of the program, our buddy Wayne, who he says Republicans don't take off years, and they don't. And with this NIE coming out, I don't know if you've seen it as much as I have, or if you've gone into the swamp that you have to go to find it, but it's as if it never happened, Chris. I had a Haaretz story for, you know, an Israeli newspaper saying bomb them anyway. I had various and sundry right-wing American sites saying, oh, this is bad intelligence, this is a grave mistake, this is, you know. It's as if they can pick and choose and just declare what reality is. And if they don't like the way it came out, that they'll just say what's otherwise, and so what?
Well, it seems like everything goes back to my mind to what I've heard about the fairness doctrine. Is when that got taken down, whether this is true or not, maybe you can elaborate, they had the privilege of saying we can say anything we want and you can't because we own the media, and there's no legal recourse that you have anymore.
Well, it's a combination, Chris, of the fairness doctrine and media ownership relaxation. The fairness doctrine, my best example of that is, not knowing how old you are, I can't remember this, but going back to my boyhood, I remember watching the local TV news, and every now and then, and Johnny Carson parodied it beautifully, with the guy with the ear flap hat and the plaid jacket, coming, and now a rebuttal of our editorial. And the guy would get on and say, I believe that Martians are among us. And, you know, the station was fulfilling its duty to provide opposing viewpoints. That was the Fairness Doctrine in action. And so once the Fairness Doctrine goes out the window, then they were so far ahead of the curve as compared to us, Chris. They saw what was, because if you go back to the early days of Limbaugh, AM radio was dying. It really was. It had been, you certainly didn't want to play any music on AM because it was crackly and staticky and icky. And all the music migrated over to FM. And that left you with basically talk and religion formats. It was a vacuum, and nature abhors a vacuum. And as such, the right wing saw it and said, geez, it's there for the taking. And they took it. And then the media ownership rules come along, and suddenly the station that had been owned in, you know, the out and busted knuckle gets bought by a conglomerate out of Texas. And it's broadcasting the same filth that they're broadcasting in Texas and in Carolina and Alabama and Dakota and Idaho, and it became Little C Catholic. It became universal right wing information 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
But it was allowed to be dishonest. It was allowed to be misleading. It was allowed to be prejudiced. It was allowed to be every evil thing you can even think.
Absolutely, because it's opinion.
Well, of course.
And it's entertainment.
Or I say that in my dream I may call you a low-down toe licker, but I would never say it.
No, some people say I'm a low-down toe licker.
Oh, I know, but as long as I can say to somebody else that I would never say that you are a low-down cotton-picking, thing-licking,
yeah, and that's,
nasty person, but I could think it, but I would never say it. And they call that legal.
Right.
And I don't, you know, but they do because it's however they kind of word their things. But let me change to another subject about
sure.
this Nancy Pelosi kind of thing of looking at things, looking at this torture.
Yeah, when did she know and what did she, when did she know and what did she know?
Well, let's carry this farther to, what was the general, Tacuba?
To Anthony Tacuba.
The one that said, hey, I saw them sticking, you know, things up the guy's anus, and I thought that was torture, but they said no. And it's like, well, we don't even talk, in this country, you know, freedom of speech, but we don't even want to talk about what the things they call about torture. You know, it's like torture is such a nice word. It's sort of like, well, mother loves you. And she wouldn't do it if she didn't love you. And then you start saying, what? And then you think about all the waterboarding and holding your water and everything else that goes on in weird households. And with what General said, that's really the different issues of torture rather than waterboarding, because you look at all the things, they're drilling holes in people, they're torturing them in a thousand different ways, but we want to talk about waterboarding or torture and nothing of else.
Yeah.
We don't want to talk about rape. We don't want to talk about crushing kids' fingers and you know, in front of them, or raping them or hurting them so that they give, which we do too, or at least I've heard we do. Whether we do or not, I don't know. They'd want to say, hey, if we do this to you, it's state secrets, you know, so I think they do it all.
Well, I'm sure they do it all, and I saw one of these ex post facto justifications for waterboarding the other day, Chris, that just, you know, there are times, I mean, I just take the shoe off and hit myself in the head, and it was some CIA operative saying, well, you know, we don't even waterboard anymore, because now that it's gotten out that we waterboard, it doesn't have any effect, because they know we're not really going to drown them.
Yeah, we've killed how many hundreds? But because that's just collateral damage, I guess.
Yeah.
But did you see the Robin Williams doing the Jacob's Ladder on the internet, where he showed, you know, it was all theater of him doing through a waterboarding exercise, and it just like.
Yeah. I did see that scene, and
oh my God, he did such a fabulous job. I just thank that man for doing that.
Well, you know, I think the question on waterboarding is easily answered, and. The next time you've got Michael Hayden under oath, the director of the CIA, you roll the tub in, you fill it up with water, and say, you know, if it's utterly harmless, we're going to waterboard you now, General.
You could also ask him, how many people did we kill after World War II for doing that?
Well, there's that too, because
you know, it's just like we did this to people. What'd they do? Is that what you did? Well, then why are we doing this? You know, we did this.
We had a rather lengthy judicial proceeding at Nuremberg over that, you know, those sorts of very issues.
Yeah.
And we came down on the right side of it, Chris. Let's be honest. We came down on the right side of the issue at Nuremberg. We just don't like it now that we're the ones who want to do it.
No, we didn't come down on the right side because we killed people for killing people.
I'm not saying in the punishment. I'm saying we came down on the right side of it in terms of how we responded to it. We said that, among other things, you cannot plead, I was just following orders.
Oh, I agree. But I would put somebody in a glass prison so that everybody for the rest of their life can tell them you're a freaking idiot and why don't you just go die, you know? And everybody can go by these people to do that. You don't need to kill anybody.
And
it goes on to, well, then what do we have to do to stop somebody? Kill them.
Well, and
that's the only way we have.
I remember way, way, way back when I was doing bad old terrestrial radio and the wingnuts would get so mad at me when I'd say, you know, I want bin Laden caught. I don't want him killed. I want him caught. I want him taken and tried at ground zero.
Why? They wouldn't tell you that how he with his mind took down Building 7. They won't even want to bring up Building 7. Because if
Obama, my point, Chris, is that we have a judicial process in this country, and a judicial process that was good enough on a world stage to apply to Goering and Himmler, any of the other Nazi thugs, von Ribbentrop, that crowd. That judicial process was good enough for those monsters. It is damned well good enough for Osama bin Laden.
Well, if he did it, according to the FBI, my reading in some article on there was that they have no evidence that he did anything in 9/11. They really have nothing to.
Well, they haven't sought any. Now he was, you know, he was on the top 10 most wanted list prior to 9/11. And he was under indictment.
Oh yes, for the 90, I think it was the 93 World Trade Center kind of.
Or the Khobar Towers or the yeah.
Right. But when it came down to who took down three buildings that, you know, free fall speeds that hidden footprint and the building other was 300 feet away and it came down all by itself, you know, at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and how did he do that with his mind? You know, he had explosions that people say with his mind. He even got the FBI to pick up all the tapes and go
The main reason that there has been no evidence presented against Osama bin Laden is because you gather evidence when you anticipate a legal proceeding. And from day one, there has been no desire for a legal proceeding because regardless of how one looks at 9/11, It provided the casus belli that the Project for a New American Century had been seeking all along.
Oh, exactly.
So there's no need for a U.S. attorney to be building a file on Osama bin Laden, or for FBI agents to be combing rubble, or for CIA agents to be interrogating people in foreign lands, if you think about it. There's no need for any of that, because all in the world it did was provide the necessary reason to go to war that the Bush administration and the Project for a New American Century, in their own words, by their own published documents, were fairly aching for.
Well, this, I believe, is all true, but my big question is, who said that Osama did it? If it wasn't Bush said Osama did it, I don't know, and I don't really want to trust the little guy, because it was all his administration saying Osama did it. And it wasn't anybody else, because nobody else had any evidence, any nothing, that had to come from the White House that he did it. Because it didn't come from any of our agencies. None of the 16 said he did it, as far as I know, but I don't know any of those, because it's never come out in print. The only people that said it was him, and now you have different people, you know, Hillary or other people say, oh, Osama. And it's like, why? You know, you're assuming everything that he took down. I got to go back to, you know, the thing most likely for the person to do in the crime. If he not do that one thing, then he didn't do the whole crime. And any way you look at it, you've got to look at it that, to me, you look at it that way. If he didn't do Building 7, he didn't do the other two buildings, he didn't do the planes, he didn't do everything. It was all orchestrated.
And you see, one of the problems that we come up against in all of this is that it is reported, to go back to the waterboarding issue, it is reported that the three people that we confessed to having waterboarded confessed to being the mastermind, or one of them was the mastermind behind it, taking orders from bin Laden. He was the mastermind behind bringing down the attacks on the Pentagon and the World Trade Center. But because it was information that was gathered as a function of torture, you are immediately left with the age-old question of reliability.
Well, yeah, when somebody says, yes, I killed your mother, yes, I killed your father, yes, I killed... How many things do you want me to say I did? Just give me the frickin' list, I will say it.
Right, and, you know, if you half-drown me, let me come up, get a mouthful of air, and then half-drown me some more. By the third or fourth time you've gotten done, I will tell you straight up I killed Cock Robin.
The idea of sodomizing somebody on the tape, because I guess it was the senators or the congressmen. Some of them said, "God, you could not believe what we saw." You know, they were devastated, what they were saw, and that ain't they cleaned.
Well, and the photos. Seymour Hersh wrote about the photos, Chris, coming out of Abu Ghraib. The ones that we have and tape, I think, that we have never to this day been allowed to see because it was deemed too inflammatory.
Well, just like, you know,
the broom handle stuff, the stuff we did to children. We have kids, literally kids, who were captured and flown halfway around the world, who are in Guantanamo now, becoming adult men, who first came there when they were 13, 14 years old. But we don't think about that. And Flush Flimball sells T-shirts that say Club Gitmo.
Yeah, just following. I mean, I talk around to people, and it's like most people are asleep. Most people would not believe that any. I mean. I can't believe the sleepiness of any kind of interest, any kind of, you haven't paid any taxes on the war. And they go, no, you haven't paid your $170,000 per person, you know, if they want to come back and get us. You haven't paid, you know, that, you know, of the, what was it, came out that $100,000, if you make less than $100,000 a year, all your taxes go to private contractors, all of it.
And yeah, I saw. I got one of my little right wing interview hustles today, and it was some guy who was real pissed off about phony global warming, and I think it might have even been James Inhofe, that Republican senator from Oklahoma, who, you know, my God, what a moron. But he was saying, or this guest they were hustling was saying, for America to move toward neutralizing global warming. For its part, would cost every man, woman, and child in this country $484, and I just slapped myself on the forehead and said, look, I'll take the $484 because I know I got at least $40,000 hanging around my neck right now.
Oh, that's only if you want to look at the debt, the debt that you want to proclaim, not the one that David Walker says that we really have.
Yeah, the phony off-the-books debt?
The one that's for long-term unfunded liabilities. You know, when you look at how much is going in and going out, according to what he had said, is that if you look back before Bush took office, it was $20 trillion. That covered all our Social Security, everything for us in the future was $20 trillion. In 6 years, that went up to $50 trillion. And Medicare has not changed. Any of those things had not changed. You couldn't, because the population hasn't changed. But we got $30 trillion more debt that somehow we got to pay off. Well, we're not going to pay it off because it's gaining at $3 trillion a year. What are you going to do? And I, you know, like, well, then talk about what are you going to do? Nobody wants to talk about what you're going to do because that's finance. You know, if you're...
Yeah, I know. That's not nearly as exciting as Britney Spears' underwear.
No, but when they're coming at your door to say we're foreclosing on your property and you're arguing in the house about where you're going to put the dining room table because it looks nicer, that's, you know... We're rearranging furniture on a ship that's going down.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to, you know, as a country, look back at the debt that they've made and start saying, no, you cannot promise this country $10, $20 billion a year if they're our friend. And however they spent that money, I don't know how they spent it, but they made obligations that $30 trillion, that if we don't go back and say, undo that, tell me where we are, how we're going to get out of this mess. And don't sell off.
Oh, Pakistan wants more money. Afghanistan wants more money. Iraq wants more money. Everybody wants more money.
But if everybody that's already paying taxes in our country of 100,000 below is already going into private contractors, there is no money.
No.
So you can say it, but it's like we don't have.
No, and that's why I try to explain, Chris, that If you're really, really deadly in earnest about Americans having universal health care, you have got to get on the, you've got to get serious about ending the war. If you, whatever you want, if you want to rebuild the infrastructure so you don't have Minneapolis bridge collapses, you got to get serious about the war. If you want to save the environment, get serious about the war. If you want to deal with women's issues, gender issues, any of that, get serious about the war, because until you stop this bleeding, you can't have any of it.
Oh, well, of course, but maybe you can. The other point is that, as Dennis Kucinich says, we're already spending $2 trillion a year, whatever it is, and $700 billion of it goes to just the top, you know, for profit. And if you take that and just put it in, we've got enough money for everybody without raising any taxes, without doing anything. If we make that a top priority, we've got plenty of money for universal health care. Then we say that...
Right, but that's predicated on ending the war.
No, that's predicated by, you start saying the insurance companies will not run Medicare. Just dump.
Oh, no, okay, yeah, I know what you're talking
about.
Because
it doesn't cost anything to get universal health care.
At one point in time, he had said, and I agreed with him, that basically we could shake out all the sofas in the Pentagon just with, you know, what the Pentagon loses through waste, fraud, and abuse, and have enough to pay for universal health care, and that's probably true, too.
Oh, we've got plenty. And now, the thing is, if... with 75, well, some statistics I have in my mind, and I'm not sure it's totally accurate, but 75% of all foreclosure or bankruptcies, those people have health care. And those people that of the bankruptcies, what the vast majority is because of health care, is because of they go bankrupt because they can't pay the...
Right, absolutely. And those, yeah, that's the... dirty little secret of the crowd that hates the idea of universal health care. It's the copays that are killing people.
Right, but there's no reason to stop people from getting sick as long as there's profit in it. It's just like the war. There is, don't stop war because it makes money.
Yeah.
And as soon as you have to pay for people being sick, you will say, we will stop people being sick. We will feed them their E, their A, their D that they need. We'll make sure they don't get, 444 pounds.
We'll get serious about that. We'll get serious about things like high fructose corn syrup. And yeah, I understand.
Oh, right. The things that they know, as Dennis says, do we need to cure cancer? Well, I'm not sure if we, if we just stop the things we already know. We don't have to go try to stop something. I mean, if you're poisoning people, quit poisoning them. Then they don't get sick and you have to cure them. So it's like, I'm not sure, he really did a great sidestep on that because nobody really wanted to, dealing with health, you just stop people from getting sick. And then with those that do get sick, you heal them. I think doctors are great for setting bones, but they're like the idiots for making you healthy. How many people that go to a doctor that say...
Yeah, because how many... Well, I actually know a couple... I've known a couple of people who went through medical school and said, how much teaching did you get about nutrition? They went, oh, dude, none. I had an hour class in my second year, that kind of thing. And that's the same kind of thing that Andrew Weil, that gets so worked up about. Chris, I've really enjoyed this, but I do have a couple more blinking lights that I want to try to hit.
Thank you. Go blink and enjoy your day. Thank you, and God bless.
And you too. Take care. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Chris calling from Oregon. Always get a good conversation when Chris rings in. And Nanette, are you still there?
I'm still here, Bob.
I'm so glad you are. Welcome to the program.
Okay, can I change gears a little bit?
Double clutch, and if you can't find them, grind them.
Yeah, I haven't ground a gear in years. Listen, some of the folks in the chat already knows about the little visit that I had on Saturday evening.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting.
Yeah, and in fact, we've talked about it, too, but... I want other people to hear this. This is amazing.
Okay. My brother-in-law called me and said a man stopped at his house and was asking him all kinds of questions, and poor brother-in-law didn't know any better, but he answered every question the man asked. And he said he's in a van with blocked-out windows, and he's heading up the road. So I was waiting on him, and I was watching. He stopped at no other neighbor's house. He pulled in front of the house, and I went and got my notepad, and I went and got my camera, and I laid him on the back of the chair by the living room door. So here he comes, and he knocks on the door. He said, yes, ma'am. He said, I'm with Summit Engineering. I said, asked him his name. He told me his name. I'm not going to give it over the air.
Sure.
Well, I spent the day today on the phone with the person whose law firm won the lawsuit over the Valley Fields up with Judge Chambers.
Right.
Spent a good deal of the day on the phone with her, and we did some research. And he wanted, while he came to the door for, he wanted our name, our address, and how long we had lived in our house. And I said, that's none of your business. And he said, we just want to send you a certified letter. And I said, I know who Summit Engineering is. I said, what do you want to do? Send a certified letter saying you're going to blow our house to hell?
No, he just must have loved that.
Huh?
He just must have loved that, Nanette.
Well, anyway, I said, what company is Summit Engineering working for? And he said, Ravencrest Contracting. I said, who is the parent company? And he stood there. He says, I don't know. I said, you mean you work for a company that you don't know who you're working for? So come to find out, Ravencrest Contracting is, to start with, all this property behind our house had been permitted out to Hollow Mountain Resources. I already knew about that. I had seen the mine maps for that. What I didn't know was they sold that permit to Ravencrest LLC in October of 06. And I was, well, you got the map. I emailed it.
Yeah.
Okay. They're owned by two guys, and their last name is Potter out of Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm looking at their website right now, Nanette.
Are you? Well, anyway, the lady that I was talking to, she knows maps and stuff like the back of her hand. She does all the background work for this legal firm. And she pinpointed where our house was on the map. You know, I explained to her where it was. She says, oh, my God. She says, I don't even live in that house. And she says, I'm already sick. Bob, they're going to be mining within 800 feet of my house.
Oh, God.
Now.
So what do you reckon is going to be in their certified letter? Get out now? What?
I'm not getting out.
No. But, I mean, what do you reckon they want to tell you?
I have no idea, but my brother-in-law will be getting one because, poor soul, he didn't know not to say anything. But the thing of it is, federal law, when they put off a blast, all mine employees have to be 1,500 feet away from the blast. However, under the law, they can blast within 300 feet of your home.
So I assume you're getting ready to move into
we're going to be in a
very serious mode, I guess. I don't know how to describe what, you know. I guess you're gearing up for a fight is what I'm saying.
You better believe it. You better believe it. And I told him, I said, you know, there's some few I can't say on the air what I said to him because I don't think it would be nice. But we had a few choice words. He couldn't answer a question that I had, or he wouldn't answer them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, get off my property. Get off of my property now. He's on my front porch.
Right.
So he turned around to leave, and I didn't know this, but that blocked out, the windows was all blocked out.
Right.
Paul and his brother both saw another person in that vehicle. What they were doing, I don't know, unless they were filming. But anyway, as he was leaving, I picked up my notepad, and well, I was writing down stuff all the time, you know, he was talking. And I picked up my camera, and I picked up the notepad, and I started falling down the steps. Well, you know where I live. I can stand on my front porch and throw a rock out in the center line of Route 3.
Sure.
Well, I followed him down the steps, and he turned around and said, what are you doing? I said, I don't know who you are. You haven't answered a one of my questions. I said, I'm going to take pictures of your vehicle. Oh, he got mad as a hornet. I took a picture of the front of his vehicle, the side of his vehicle, and the back of his vehicle. And I'm going to send you the picture of the back. It's really precious because I got his license plate number.
Mm-hmm.
But he already had his lights on. He was getting ready to pull out and start taking pictures.
West Virginia tag, Nanette?
West Virginia tag. West Virginia tag.
No, he must be out of the Charleston office. I guess their headquarters is in Pikeville.
Summit Engineering, from what I can understand, their headquarters is in California.
No.
No?
No.
I thought they were.
I have
local headquarters here, but, you know, local, but I thought it was a national company.
No, it's according to their own website, it is, how do they describe themselves? I bet you they're out of the Chapmanville office. They've got offices in Pikeville, Chapmanville, Charleston, Lexington, Big Rock, Virginia, and Hazard, Kentucky. And they say, here it is. Summit Engineering is a Pikeville, Kentucky-based civil and environmental engineering, mining engineering, and architectural firm. Established in 1977, we have expanded rapidly to meet the growing civil, architectural, and mining engineering needs of the Southeast. Summit opened its engineering division in 1980. In 1981, Summit's civil engineering division headquarters opened in Lexington. 1985 saw a fourth branch opened in Logan, West Virginia. Summit Architectural Services was created in April 1995, operates out of the Lexington office, and our second West Virginia office was opened in Charleston shortly thereafter in 1996. Their sixth office was opened in 1998 in Hazard, Kentucky.
And I bet they do most of the work for Massey.
Oh, I'll bet you. Massey, Arch, Peabody, you know, that crowd.
But anyway,
the usual suspects, as we say.
Trying to come in and take them away. Anyway, I found out that this Ravencrest has bought out all the mining rights from Emmons, which is almost on the Kanawha County border, all the way behind our house, to Ashford, Rumble, to Julian. And they're also taking Fort Creek, which used to be a nature preserve, and destroying that.
Now, how are they getting away with that? I mean, was it state land or?
It was I suppose it was park because it had the brown sign there that, you know, how they have the brown signs. And it was a nature preserve. Well, you can thank our DEP, you can thank our governor, you know. And to find out that this is a prospect operation right now, and by it being a prospect operation, the DEP doesn't even have all the particulars on it. Until they apply for the actual permit, the DEP doesn't even have any information on it.
Good Lord. So they're just so in other words, it's all just fly by night?
Right now, yeah. Well, see, about a month ago, I noticed a vehicle here, and I thought, well, what in the world are they doing there? And it was one of those pickup trucks that's got the white whirly gauge, you know, used on the MTR sites with this great big antenna tied off, you know.
Yeah.
The guy gets out of the truck. He has his striped clothes on. He has a stack of papers in his hand. And he was looking at our property, and he was looking down over the hollow, just across the road, you know, there's a right of way that goes up the hill, and it makes a left, and it comes out at Batona. And he walked up there with those papers, and he was looking around, and he came back, and he sat in his truck for a long time, and he left. And I thought, well, wonder what he's up to. And I'll bet you, now this is just speculation on my part, but I'll bet you they're going to take this road out here and make a haul road out of it. And Bob, it's 100 feet from my back door.
Wouldn't surprise me in the least. Well, I'm looking at their website some, and apparently if you want a job with Summit Engineering, you contact a guy by the name of Jack Sykes.
Mm.
And his email address is...
Don't want it, Bob.
No, but others may, Nanette, others may.
Yeah, others may, okay.
Jack Sykes of Summit Engineering's email address, and like I said, all their job listings say that you're to contact him. He's in the home office in Pikeville, Kentucky. He is at J Sykes, that's JSYKES, at Summit, SUMMIT, hyphen, ENGR.com. So, you know, I don't know. Maybe Mr. Sykes needs to know that, that there's more than just a few little handful of people that know what his evil little company is up to, working for what Ravenscrest? What was it?
Ravenscrest LLC.
Yeah, Ravenscrest LLC. Mm-hmm. Maybe he needs to know that. Or maybe you'd like to fax something to him at 606-432-1440.
Okay.
Or you might like to call him at 606-432-1447, extension 332. This is public information that they have put out for the public on their website.
Well, anyway, I told him. You know, I said, you come here and you ask all kinds of personal information. I said, you give none? Well, when I went down, he said, do you want to talk to my boss? I said, no, he's probably a bigger slime ball than you are.
Might be Jack Sykes.
Probably.
Lord, oh, Lord,
his
Lord.
His face was as red as a beet. I thought he was going to pop a vessel.
Good. Good, because, you know,
and
the way...
I tell you what, you know...
The way I feel about these people, Nanette, they shouldn't have comfortable nights' sleep.
They have no consciences.
Doing what they do.
They don't. They don't care. I told him. I made it clear. I said, you come around here. I said, you didn't stop next door. I said, you stopped at the house down the road. I said, I know about that. I said, you haven't been anywhere else. I said, you see me and my brother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
I know why they see me. They probably got a file on me and he's sick.
Yeah, and that's not, and for folks who are listening who don't live in the area, that's not paranoia. These people are big, 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 big for keeping files on anybody who dares to speak up and oppose their destruction of this state. So I wouldn't be surprised in the least to know that. You've been on the stand in federal court trials. You've given depositions.
I stood and addressed the West Virginia State Legislature.
Yeah, they know who you are, Nanette.
They know exactly who I am. And just like the lady who worked for law firm, she said, they got your number. And I said, I know they did.
That was purely an intimidation visit. That's all
yeah,
it was.
I don't intimidate. And I don't run. And they're not running me out of my house.
Well, for God's sakes.
And I told him. I said, let me tell you something.
Be careful, Nanette. I told him.
I said, let me tell you something. I said, if I find another one of you people on my property, I said, you'll think a mad dog's got you by the ass, and I don't let go.
God, that's beautiful. That is beautiful.
The truth. But, Bob, it's a shame. And that stupid Inhofe said $400 for every human.
$484 for every man, woman, and child.
Yeah, and I'm getting ready to lose everything we ever worked for. They're going to blow my house apart.
Yeah, because I don't care where they set off their charges.
800 feet, Fly Rock will fly for a couple thousand feet.
Yeah, exactly. It won't. I mean, it won't be safe.
No, it won't be.
And I
know my daughter was scared today. She said, "Mommy," she said, "they're going to kill you." She said, "Mommy, they're going to kill you and Dad." I said, "Let me tell you something, honey." I sat at my daddy's knee and I listened to what my grandpa was threatening during the mine wars.
Yep.
I said, he had to leave the state for 2 years because he had to kill people so his kids could have a better life. I said, in Paint Creek, I said, all the miners had to leave the company houses and they were living in tents and the mine thugs would shoot to the tents. None of the miners' wives and children was in those tents.
Yep.
They had to dig holes under those tents and their children had to sleep in holes in the ground. I said, they didn't run, Elizabeth. They stood their ground. I said, your life hasn't been peaches and cream by any sense of imagination. I said, but can you imagine what it would have been if the men hadn't stood their ground? And I said, until every man, woman, and child in this country stands up and says, no more, this is going to go on.
Wherever they think they can get away with it. And you know, the way they get it to where it is they start with the children, Danette. My daughter is studying West Virginia history this year in school, and I asked her to.
It's been revised.
I asked her to bring me the history book, and it's interesting you should mention Paint Creek, because I went, there's a chapter on labor.
Uh-huh.
And I thought I'd see what my kids are getting by the way of explanation, so that I know how many gaps I have to fill in. And there's a discussion in the book on the Paint Creek Massacre.
Uh-huh.
And the attacks on the war on Paint Creek. And it says, both sides of the conflict blame the other, and it has never to this day been established who was at fault.
Oh, the Dutch ran armored rail cars with
machine guns on them. I know, the Bull Moose Special,
yeah.
Sure. They said the same thing about Matewan.
Well, you know what? Blair Mountains, they're getting ready to blow off the map.
Yeah.
Okay, that's where my grandpa went. You know, they marched right in front of this house on Route 3. That's where the Vinyl March went, right by my house.
Sure enough, yeah.
It sure did. That was the first time that the American government ever used air power and dropped bombs on their own people. It was on Blair Mountain.
That and the investiture or the... what do you call it? The federal troops were put on the streets of Mingo.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's all the troops.
Down at Williamson, sure.
Yeah.
There are photographs of them. Yeah, oh yeah.
And
there, this was the one that got me, Nanette. There was a photo of a bunch of Baldwin Felts thugs.
Uh-huh.
And the caption underneath it said, mine owners hired guards from the Baldwin Felts Detective Agency to maintain peace and order in the coal fields.
Oh, my God. Boy, that's sure a difference in the West Virginia history book I had.
But it's the West Virginia, it's what we...
revised history.
Yeah, it's what we want our children to know now. And, I grabbed my daughter and I said, okay, we got to talk.
Uh-huh.
And I just sort of straightened her up on it. I said, probably if they even teach this part of the book in class, you should just be quiet. Because you'll railroad yourself into an F if you're not careful, if you start telling the truth. And do you have any idea how that hung in my craw to say that to my daughter?
I know exactly how you must have felt. You know, and it just, I think about our history, and I can remember when all my relatives were living. They were older men, and I never stayed with the women. The men all congregated in here in the living room on Sundays. I always sat at one or the other's knees. I sit on the floor. And I drank in history, oral history, like water. I loved it. And I remember every bit of it. And just like Uncle Ira lived at Thurman that you talk about. He lived there for years.
Mm-hmm.
But I figure it's long before your dad was there, because he died. He was 96 years old, and he died in 1983.
Well, my granddad mined coal down in that whole New River region. Starting from the 20s onward.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's probably some overlap in there.
Each other, I don't know. His name was Ira Fry.
Oh, but there were thousands of people.
Oh, I've been down there.
Whether it was Kennard or Thurmond or Brooklyn or Glen Jean, you know, the whole place was just honeycombed with mines. In fact, you know, I talk about the New River Gorge Bridge from time to time. You know, we went to Bridge Day and all that fun stuff. They had to pour concrete, and they had to keep it pouring for 30 continuous hours because they hit a shaft.
Uh-huh.
And if they had stopped pouring, they would have had a seam, and the foundation of the bridge wouldn't have been any good.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Poured concrete for 30 continuous hours because, you know, some wall of some shaft gave way, and it just, you know, it didn't fill up. So, yeah. Nanette, it sounds like your connections, either your connection or mine, is getting a little bit dodgy, but I tell you what, I'm so glad you told us about this, and, you know, for God's sakes, don't give up, and keep people informed, keep us informed, because the only way we have a fight in these kind of circumstances is to be out in front and be in the open. Make them do it to us in the bright light of day, and not operate in the dark and still of the night like they like to.
Well, see, the thing of it is, it's a dirty little secret, and unless we get out and we talk about it and let the nation know, nobody knows. They don't know what's going on here.
No, and it's a fair question that the nation should have to answer.
Yeah.
Whose house are you willing to sacrifice for your energy needs? Is it Nanette's? Is it mine? Is it somebody else's? Is it which community are you willing to sacrifice so you can leave the damn lights on?
Okay, my neighbor that I talked to this evening, I'll let you go after this, I promise.
Oh, no worries, no worries.
It's almost time for the news. But anyway, I called my neighbor, and I don't know whether she's comfortable with me giving her name or not, but you've heard from her. Okay, Sue from Big Cole.
Sure.
Okay, she lives right behind me, and I sent her the map. She's going to be in the middle of this mess, too. And they had to leave Sylvester because of the mess up there. And now she's going to be in the middle of another one. And she said, I don't know if I can stand it anymore or not. And it affects people's emotional state. It affects them physically. It affects them every way.
Yeah. Well, it's like what Chris said in the previous call. He said it's a lot easier to keep people healthy if you stop making them sick first.
Well, stop polluting the water and poisoning the air, and people will be a lot better off.
Sure.
And what goes on here on Big Coal affects everybody, whether they realize it or not. They might blow my house up, but you're drinking the poison from it, and you're breathing the poison from the air.
Yeah, it wasn't 2 hours ago as I was prepping for the show, I heard another charge go off up on, up there where we were.
Okay, you're a good distance from that, aren't you?
Yeah.
Okay, can you imagine being 800 feet?
No, I can't. Because
that's what I'm going to be living with.
Because, you know, you could feel the rumble in the ground.
Mm-hmm. So I thought I would just call and fill you in. There was a lot more said, but it's not appropriate for the radio or for to put out over the air. Because I lost my temper, and Bob, I've always tried to watch my tongue. My mother would have absolutely rolled over if she heard what came out of my mouth. But I was so angry at that man Saturday evening that I could have framed. I'm not going to tell you what I could have done to him. But
oh, I got a pretty good idea, but you know that's
yeah.
me. But you know, there's a saying out there. I don't know who came up with it, but it's something like. I reckon if you were meant to watch your mouth all the time, your eyes wouldn't have been put above it.
Rick?
So, you know. If you're supposed to watch your mouth all the time, your eyes wouldn't be above it.
Well, I really lost my temper. That Scott temper came out big time. It came out big time. But I just really find it strange that they just singled us and my brother-in-law. And I think it's because we're the people through here. We're the only two people that's got the same last name.
They were looking for you.
Yeah, I think so. Because there's a lot of other people around here that's going to be affected, and they have not been notified. They haven't had their doors knocked on at the edge of dark on Saturday.
Nope.
You know, so anyway, I thought I'd share that. And folks, please get a hold of your congresspeople. Please, tell them to do something about these mining companies. And this liquid coal stuff they're trying to push is a big joke. Don't fall for it.
Oh, that's the biggest con of all.
I'm afraid that's what's going to make Americans fall for this. Is they think, oh, we can get away from oil because we have coal. That's the most polluting thing in the world. And just get a hold of your congresspeople and tell them what's going on here. Because it does us no good to talk to our congresspeople or our Senate people.
No, because
they're in cold money up in their eyeballs.
Yeah, they've got no incentive to listen to somebody whose house is getting destroyed because there's big money in the destruction.
Right.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know.
Well, Bob, I've kept you far too long.
No, you have not. But we will. You're a clock watcher. You guys. You know, it's almost time for the news. You know, I don't want to let anybody down. So, you know, we'll go do the news.
Well, it's 7:59, dear heart. It's time for your news.
God, anyway. it's like I've got keepers, Nanette.
Well, maybe you need some.
I do.
Oh.
You take care, dear.
Okay, we'll see you.
Bye.
Bye bye.
We kid and we carry on, but I don't know how to make people understand, or if I need to make people understand how deadly serious all of this is. And it's only because people like Nanette can have the backbone that they have, that they can end up, we can end up joking and laughing together in the face of this kind of manifest evil. We'll be back after the news. Your phone calls are more than welcome. I got some stuff to hit if you don't want to do the phone call thing. It's easy, any way you want it. You're listening to America's Liberal Voice, America's listener-supported, independent liberal voice. You're listening to The Horn. I'm Bob.
Today you blasted near my street, and my house cracked at my feet. I can't help it if my home is in your way. Politicians by your side, they look so satisfied. I can't help it if my home is in your way. Promises you made amount to stealing. As a giant rock lands on my Chevrolet, suddenly I got that lawsuit feeling. I can't help it if my home is in your way. Hard to know that the sheriff's lips will kiss you. Now, where they kiss you, I can't say. We're asking for a big injunction issue. We can't help it if our homes are in your way. No, we can't help it if our homes are in your way.
This is the Quality News Network. In Bali, the head U.S. negotiator at the world's largest climate change conference says next year the White House will reveal its own plan for reducing greenhouse gas emissions. America and China, the top polluters in the world, will continue to oppose mandatory caps, however. Former Vice President Al Gore picked up the 2007 Nobel Peace Prize in Stockholm, Sweden today. He won the award along with the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change for their work in establishing the science of climate change and what it may mean for humanity and the natural world. A deadly cold snap and ice storm have sliced through America's heartland, closing down highways and airport runways across parts of the Midwest. Widespread power outages are reported. As many as 10 people have been killed because of the storm. Investigators in Colorado still trying to determine whether two weekend shooting sprees at evangelical churches are related. 10 people were shot in Sunday's deadly attacks. 5 people died, including the gunman in the second assault, who was killed by a security guard. He has been identified through court records as 24-year-old Matthew Murray. Former media mogul Conrad Black was sentenced to 6.5 years behind bars today. Black, convicted of obstruction of justice and of defrauding shareholders at Hollinger International. He remains free until ordered to report to prison in 3 months. Former star NFL quarterback Michael Vick sentenced to 23 months in prison today. Vick reported ahead of time to prison late last month after admitting to involvement in an illegal dogfighting ring and more. Louis Scooter Libby has dropped an appeal over his conviction on charges of obstruction of justice and lying to a grand jury. While the conviction still stands, Libby's prison sentence commuted by President Bush, so Libby won't spend any time in jail. Russian President Vladimir Putin is backing a close friend as his replacement next year. Dmitry Medvedev is head of Russia's largest oil company. He was nominated by Putin's United Russia Party today. Elections will be held in March. As expected, talks between Serbian and Kosovar leaders over Kosovo's future have broken down. Today was the deadline for an agreement. The only exception is Cyprus, willing to accept Kosovo's independence without UN support. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Huelhauser talks to customers of First National, South Valley, and San Benito Banks, local members of the network of preferred community banks.
We're here to talk with people about their local banking.
So what do you look for when you decide where you're going to put all your millions?
Well, I haven't printed up enough to put it in the bank yet, but I guess for convenience, and pretty much it's like a grocery market. You get to meet the people there, and you build a little rapport with some of them.
You know, it's a local bank, but it's part of a network of local banks that give you big bank services.
Everything that I need as far as banking is concerned, they have it. Online banking is great for me. So I just like the services that they offer.
You ever taken your dog Cindy to the bank?
As a matter of fact, when I went to open my account, she was with me.
Ah!
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we have a horse come through one of these days. We got a lot of cowboys coming in and out of here, too.
Above and Beyond Banking from the network of preferred community banks. Available locally at First National Bank of Central California, South Valley National Bank, and San Benito Bank.
The launch of the space shuttle Atlantis has been postponed until next month. A critical fuel gauge failed yesterday, again delaying the shuttle's takeoff. The South Korean government has declared a state of disaster for a coastal area hit by Friday's oil spill of some 2.7 million gallons of crude. Tourism, the seafood industry, and wildlife all threatened by the wave of sludge that is washing ashore. The UN sent out its annual request to governments today to assist in alleviating humanitarian crises next year. Although the Sudan is highlighted as the most in need of aid, 24 countries are also listed. The UN estimates it needs $3.8 billion for that single effort. Switzerland's top bank announced it'll write down an additional $10 billion as a result of losses in the subprime mortgage crisis. UBS will receive $10 billion from a Singapore investment firm to help offset loss. Lundberg Survey saying the price of gas dropped about 9 cents a gallon over the past 3 weeks. Lowest price at the pump found in Tulsa, Oklahoma, the highest in San Francisco, California. Light sweet crude oil trading at $87.86 a barrel. And at today's close of Wall Street, the Dow up 101 points to end at 13,727, NASDAQ up 12 points, the S&P 500 up 11. There's always more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Eight minutes past the hour. I am indeed Bob. You, most importantly, are wonderfully you. And we will go straight away to the phones. And, you know, what stories I don't hit now, I'll find a way to hit them during the horn section, even if it's a horn section of one this evening after the rerun of Strictly Confidential, which will, in fact, be a rerun of the 6th of December show. So I hope you will stick around for that as it comes your way. Kevin is on the phone with us, calling from beautiful downtown Brooklyn. Hey, Kevin, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing great.
I mean, everything taken together, you know, crazy world that we live in. I'm breathing out and breathing in. That's great, you know?
Exactly. You can't ask for anything more. I'm in good health and, you know, hey. And, you know, something is going okay. It's challenging, but it's going okay. Well, our man Gore didn't announce his presidency, which...
I thought of you this morning when I saw the announcement.
Yeah, and, you know, but who knows? He can't throw his... He can do what Eisenhower did. That's still an option, which I said, too. But I think the Republican Party is at the point where it doesn't matter who's running. The Bush family pretty much owns the party, hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah, well...
It's their party.
Is it, Kevin, or is it the Fundy's party?
Well,
and I asked that because if you look at the momentum that Reverend Huckabee is getting, then you can't help but see the real energy in the Republican campaign right now is coming from the mouth breathers and the knuckle walkers.
Well, I think they kind of lost their credibility. That I think he's going to deflate big time, as you know, because he is too fundamentalist for the North. You got to understand, there are Southern Republicans and there's the party. And yes, the Southern Republicans is a big block, but they're not the party.
He's going to play big in Kansas. He's going to play big in Idaho. He's going to play big in Missouri. You know, it could be that the Republicans view their Northern Party members the way the Democrats view their Southern Party members. You know, yeah. We can get on without them.
And I just think, and pretty much, but the good news is Oprah has discredited this war. And you got to understand, Oprah is the Walter Cronkite of our generation.
You really think so?
Well,
I mean, is your tongue firmly lodged in your cheek right now, Kevin? Are you playing with me? I mean,
well, okay, stature, as far as people listening to her, now she's no Walter Cronkite, but the fact of the matter, Walter Cronkite in his day, people listened.
So perhaps to say more than anyone else out there, Oprah has her finger on the pulse of America and has America's ear?
Exactly. Now, okay, she is what she is, a talk show host. But that's what our news has become.
Yeah.
And if she has discredited the war, the house frows of America are going to listen.
And what do you think? I mean, what are they going to do about it?
Well, they're going to nag their husbands. Sorry to sound sexist, but hey, to go on the momentum of the earlier hour, you know, they're going to nag their husbands, and, you know, they're going to say, why are our sons going off to Iraq? Why is my neighbor's son going off to Iraq? And, you know, something isn't right here.
What do you think she's done that actually discredited the Iraq war? I mean,
well, when she said Barack Obama was the only candidate, the only one who ran for president who discredited this war from the get-go.
See, that's the part I don't get, though, Kevin. Every time that George Bush has said, I want money, Senator Obama has said, how fast can I give it to you? Well, same with Senator Clinton. Same with Senator Dodd. Well, same with Senator Biden.
Well, you got to understand, all those senators that you just mentioned have huge defense contractors in their states, a huge defense contractor. Even in New York, if you go upstate, especially Long Island.
Oh, sure.
There's a huge defense contractor.
And I reckon there's probably a few defense contractors in Chicago, too.
Yeah, which depend on that money. So they're going to do what they got to do. So, you know, the nature of politics is to play both sides of the fence and hope you come out on the right side.
Is Oprah, and I'm just going to ask this, and you give me your straight-up take. Is she in Obama's camp solely because Obama is African-American?
No. Well, partially. I wouldn't say entirely. I think a lot of it is just, you know, it's the state where she made her fame and fortune. You know, it's kind of like the deal that, you know, my senator here in New York did with, what's his name, as far as the Department of Justice.
Oh, yeah. What Schumer did with Mukasey.
You know, the opposite sides of the spectrum, but, hey, you know, it's
very frustrating for me, Kevin. When I have paid attention to what Oprah says about the war and what Oprah says about health care and what Oprah says about the economy and what Oprah says about working people, everything she says is in complete agreement with Dennis Kucinich.
Yeah, but
it's at odds with a lot of what Senator Obama has said and done.
Okay, but you see, you gotta understand, both Oprah and Obama, okay, they're under the delusion that African Americans, for the most part, have arrived, because they're part of what W.E.B. Du Bois called the talented tenth.
Okay.
The talented tenth, in the meaning, has gotten very rich in the past 20 since the time of Reagan.
So it's that family on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yeah. Well, matter of fact, they're even richer than that.
The family, swimming pools, movie stars.
Yeah, you know, they're even wealthier than that. And they're part of that, you know. Even in there's such a disparity of wealth between the top, the talented tenth, and the rest of us that, you know, yeah, at one time it was having a BA and above, you are part of that talented tenth. Now it's like, if you're not netting at least $10 million and above, you're not part of that talented tenth. You're just a regular Joe. So even, yes, the black community, the wealth in the black community is that of a third world nation, but there's still a huge disparity between Oprah and Obama's lot and the rest of us.
Well, I mean, look, I'm going to be happy with President Obama.
I'll be happy with him.
I'd be happier with President Kucinich.
Mm-hmm.
Quite possibly happier with President Biden.
Mm-hmm.
But I can support a President Kucinich. I can support a Biden, a Dodd, Obama, Clinton. I can support any of those, because any one of those is, and I don't, I mean to say this with as much mathematical accuracy as I can, a million, billion, jillion, trillion, zillion, just to trillion times better than Reverend Huckabee, Willard Romney, Giuliani. Any one of those are...
The Republican Party, because of the Bush family, has also been discredited amongst Americans. You know,
yeah, but see, it's easy for us to say that, Kevin, but I'm not so sure of it anymore. I'm looking at the evangelical fervor that these freaks are getting behind Huckstrebe, and, you know, I think it's a little too early to declare the Republican Party dead, because you know what? They will slime to the very end, and they win by division.
Yeah, and they're going to find a way. But I tell you one thing, black people... And I'm saying this for all us African Americans who are listening to this show. Hopefully I'm not the only one.
I know you're not.
Okay. Is that 2008, we're going to find out where we really stand in this country. You know, yes, we're making money. At least some of us are. The Oprahs and the Obamas, they're making money, and they're gaining the prestige, and they're gaining this, and we're doing that. But we're going to find out where we really stand in 2008.
Okay. Any bets, Kevin?
I think, you know what I think, honestly, my prediction, and don't go, you know, I don't want to sound like Gene, what's her name, from Star Magazine.
No. And then, you know, you don't have to go to sleep and dream it either, like Edgar Casey.
Yeah,
I understand.
But I think Barack Obama will be the first black vice president of the United States.
You know, I don't see him being Hillary's.
Huh? I said the first black vice president.
I know, and I said I don't see him being Hillary's.
No. But I see him, whoever gets the nomination, he will be the number two.
So are you just saying Hillary is not going to get the nomination, or?
Well, Hillary will most likely get it because all the money is behind her.
There's a lot of negative energy running between those two camps right now.
Yeah, well, I just think Hillary is going to get it. Don't forget, the Republicans are doing the Nixonian tactic of picking your opposition.
Yeah, they're doing everything, and that's why they're...
Hillary is getting, and this is what scares me about Hillary, and people say, well, you know, a lot of women accuse me of being sexist, oh, you just don't... No, it's not because she's a woman. I don't care. I put it this way, in reference to Star Trek, I would want Captain Pike to run for president, anything to beat a Republican. You know, I just think Hillary, the right-wing money that Hillary's getting is setting her up for a fall. And that's what they're doing. They're picking the candidates, and they're picking who they could punch the most holes in, which is Hillary Clinton.
Well, we know that they did. Or, okay, no. I strongly suspect that they chose John Kerry for us.
Yeah.
And because they did not want any part of Howard Dean.
Exactly.
And the media, of course, was complicit.
Well, John Edwards, since Gore, by far has been the most qualified.
Yeah, and I didn't in that litany, Kevin, thank you for reminding me, I didn't mention John Edwards. He is probably the most qualified of the
And who can win.
You're darn right he can win.
And probably the most winnable candidate. And I'm praying that he will pick up.
See, I could see him very easily tapping Barack Obama for a vice presidential slot.
And I could see him Hillary tapping Barack Obama too.
See, that's where you and I part company. I think they hate each other right now.
Maybe
that's the fence mending.
Kennedy and Johnson hated each other too. So.
Well, yeah, true enough. Hey, Kevin, good to hear from you, my friend. Everything going well in Brooklyn?
Oh, yeah.
Good deal.
All right, man.
I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bro.
Bye now.
Bye.
Love hearing from Kevin. I don't know. You know, it's some of it's horse race stuff, but I cannot see Senator Clinton tapping Senator Obama as a vice presidential running mate. I just can't. And David is with us calling from Maine. Hey, David, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Bob. You know, talking about this election, if it was up to me, first of all, on Oprah, just so people understand this, I don't listen to anything a woman has to say about organization and unity when she can't even get her man Stedman off, pleading her man Stedman not to leave her property and making him live in the guest house next door.
Oh, dude, you did not go there. You did not go there.
Yes, I did go there. I mean, come on, Bob.
Oh. Okay, I'm going to let that one stand on its own. I'm not commenting one way or the other on it because, frankly, I don't follow the Oprah Stedman soap opera enough to even, you know, remotely care.
I know, but
that's
ridiculous in itself. How can you even get? How can you be like the black woman Moses? I mean, come on, you're not. I know the consultants have made you into this, and you've insulated yourself in such a way where people say the great oh. And probably one of the most brilliant entrepreneurs. That's the key word, people. Entrepreneurs.
Well, maybe that's the thing. You know,
Great
painters aren't necessarily great writers. Great sculptors aren't necessarily great architects. Maybe she does have her thumb on the pulse, regardless of any personal relationship issues. You know, there have been a lot of great people who had rotten personal relationships.
Bob, do you know who's putting his money where his mouth is?
Who?
Brad Pitt.
Yeah, you mean with the New Orleans thing?
Brad Pitt. He's if he stays there, and I hope he does. I hope he doesn't get discouraged. I hope he has a good support system down there, and I hope he thinks long and hard about his film career and what he might have to sacrifice to stay down there.
No, he's already said he doesn't much care about his film career. Oh, God. Okay, I'm giving myself away.
I've heard that one.
I actually read a celebrity story the other day. Oh. I'm sorry, but I did. But he said, I'm 44 years old, at which point I went, so am I. And I look 90 and he looks 12. He said, I'm 44, and he said, I'm really thinking this is a younger man's game now. And I went, huh? Oh, dear. Shut up.
I heard one of the funniest comments on Hillary by Dave Attell. He says, you know, Hillary has that Andrew Jackson bi-curious look to her.
That's rough. Man, that's just tough. That's mean.
I know, but you know what? Damn, did she ask for it. Damn, did she ask for it every single day. And, you know, anyways...
But don't we? But I mean, as giggleable as that line is, David.
Yeah.
don't we betray ourselves? Don't we betray what we hope for the country when we allow ourselves to be dragged into that crap? I mean, the Washington Post, by analogy.
No, because she's not on her team.
She's not what?
She's not on her team.
She's not on our team. Oh, my God.
By
extension, the Washington Post this weekend, who was it? The editor, assistant managing editor Bill Hamilton said, "I'm sorry it was misunderstood. It obviously makes me think about how I edited it." This is after a story that they circulated, that was published, about Barack Obama's Muslim ties. Now, bear in mind, everything in the story had been discredited for 6 months, going on a year, okay, David?
Yeah.
And here's the mighty Washington Post doing a story on it in the last week. It was headlined, "Foes Use Obama's Muslim Ties to Fuel Rumors About Him." He doesn't have any Muslim ties. And I mean, it's the same thing on Fox. It's like the Fox virus is creeping, has been, already did, whatever verb tense you want, all over the media. Some people say that Barack Obama has Muslim ties. And as long as you put "some people say" in front of it, that somehow confers a layer of insulation and legitimacy to the news. It's so much horse hockey. I mean, the Washington Post has been out, you know, the Senator Clinton showed cleavage. I don't want to think about Senator Clinton's cleavage. Just because I don't. I don't care. I honest to God don't care whether she wears skirts or pantsuits or whether there's some deep philosophical existential reason or, you know, I remember an old joke from way back in the Clinton administration about why doesn't Hillary wear short skirts, because she doesn't want people to see her balls. You know, I remember all of that. I don't care. I want somebody who's competent, for the love of God, to fix this horrific, nightmarish, going on 8 years now, David, where we've lived where the wild things are. And that thing scared the piss out of me when I was a 5-year-old, and now I'm living it as an adult. I want it fixed. I don't care about the superfluities.
Well, I called...
Sorry, I'm not trying to be a jerk here. I mean...
I didn't call about Hillary Clinton or any of that. I was just commenting on what Kevin was saying. I actually called about this op-ed that I read, and I don't know if I have time. Do I have time to read it?
Hit the high points, or just tell... What is it? What does it say? Synopsize, summarize.
I'm not going to be able to do that. But it's actually pretty good. I guess I'll do it tomorrow.
Don't tease me. What did it come from?
Oh, Counterpunch.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean...
It's by Sean Penn.
Oh, cool. Well, we can go and have a... it's recent?
It just came out the 7th.
Okay, so if we go to Counterpunch and look for Sean Penn, we'll find it. What's the title?
Yeah. An Odd Week Indeed.
I'm all over it, like a cheap
okay,
suit.
Good. When you say the things about Clinton, the people are trying to pressure us and put us into that category of you have to go with Clinton because she's a liberal and her family, and you
no,
like
I,
because
no, I don't maintain any misgivings or misapprehensions or misunderestimations or what the hell ever that she's a liberal. Okay, I know better.
I know, but it's like they throw the jerseys out, see, and they say, "This is your team. This is who you have on your team," and the more they keep forcing it, her.
I'm sorry, I don't care how hard they try, they can't make me wear a Dolphins jersey. Won't do it.
I know, Bob, but have you seen what happened? Look at the Barack rally, you know? Look at the Hillary rally. I mean, and then look at the Kucinich rally. This is how the cult of personality works. And you know what's amazing is the fact that she actually said, and I was going to catch you on it, I was hoping you would say something on it, when she said that Barack was the only one, that's not true. That's not true.
No, of course not.
Dennis Kucinich was another one.
He is, no, Dennis Kucinich is the only one.
Oh, he was the only one.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Bernie Sanders. Oh, well, he couldn't be.
Well, he's not running for president.
Yeah.
Let's see. Obama wasn't in the Senate. Senator Clinton was. Dodd was. Biden was. Edwards, at the time, was. And they all went, yeah, boy, let's have us a war with Iraq.
Yeah.
Clinton and Congressman Kucinich said, no. They all said, hell yeah, let's vote yay on that there Patriot Act. And Congressman Kucinich said, no.
Yeah.
And whether it's the health care debate, any of it, you know, I'm in agreement with what he said at one of those dog and pony shows. He said, wouldn't it be nice to have a president who's been right all along? Yeah, it would. I'm not, you know, I never have and I never will vote for a guy based on whether or not I think I'd like to have a beer with him. I like beer better than, you know, I think more of my beer, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I want a guy that I can, or a woman, that I can look at it and go, by God, I know they're smarter than I am, so I can at least halfway trust them to try to dope it out along the way. Oh, well, we're having phone troubles here, David. Say again, please.
I said they banned Ron Paul.
Oh, yeah, oh, and by the way, yeah, I got a fun Ron Paul moment for you, too. You're going to get a kick out of this, David.
Okay.
It went straight, and I do mean straight, to my junk mail filter, my junk mail file.
My favorite Ron Paul moment is, there's a good one on YouTube, by the way, Bob, is when this guy actually went on the Morton Downey show. Now, that should show you something about his character. When you go on the Morton Downey show.
Yeah.
To argue with who? A zoo?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, come on!
Well, this email says, are you comfortable with the direction? It comes from something called Tea Party. Are you comfortable with the direction in which our great country is going? How did I get on these bastards' list? Are you content to continue paying for policies and programs you don't support? What, like Social Security, Mr. Paul? There was a time, but not so far in our past, that the men and women of this country felt the same. On December 16th, 1773, American colonists dumped tea into the Boston Harbor to protest an oppressive tax. Well, there's an open question as to whether the tax was that oppressive, but, you know, anyway. This December 16th, American citizens will dump millions of dollars into Ron Paul's presidential campaign. To protest the oppressive and unconstitutional inflation tax, which has enabled a flawed foreign policy, a costly war, and the sacrificing of our liberties here at home. You know, this is where we start the Looney Tunes music.
You know,
he's,
you know,
just nuts.
You know what's Looney Tunes? I'll tell you what's Looney Tunes. How about John Mayer in the middle of a concert? I believe in Ron Paul. He's actually...
Oh, God. That reminds me of the... Was it Radiohead that showed up on Saturday Night Live back in 2000, and at the very end when they're doing the closing credits and the mournful sax solo and wah wah wah, yeah, and Radiohead dude holds up, and maybe it wasn't Radiohead, holds up a cardboard scribble that says "Let Ralph debate."
Let Ralph debate.
Yeah. Yeah, because that was back when Ralph was telling America that there was no difference between George Bush and Al Gore.
See how this psychology works, though, Bob? We really haven't had a debate for over, say, in my lifetime. I haven't seen a debate. Not one. I see a lot of people asking questions, but I see a lot of people giving soundbite answers like it's a Q&A for a TV.
Yeah.
Or Tiger Beat.
Tiger Beat. Oh, my God. Oh, that's a painful cultural reference.
No, but if you think about it, it's true.
Sean Cassidy. Jesus, I'm sorry.
If you think about it, it's true. We really haven't seen. That's why I don't even use the word debate, because I haven't seen.
No, why
debate.
Do you think I call it the? You know, when I saw Kucinich on one of the dog and pony shows, that's what it is. I mean, they're
actually.
Not...
You know, maybe we should. Maybe we should actually. I guess the people are going to have to put together a real debate, kind of like what they did with George Galloway and Christopher Hitchens. Which was kind of a circus in itself, but you get somebody who is really going to you know, not make it so theatrical.
Yeah, yeah.
And actually not have people booing in the audience out of the 20 minutes of the time that they have there, or cheering or whatever it is, and seriously talk about the issues rather than just turning into this giant, gigantic wave polarization. You hear the boos here and you hear the cheers here. I mean, that's really what I'd really like to see. I'd really like to see a debate where Dennis Kucinich is able to sit down and ask Chris Dodd questions, and consultants are kept in this cage overhead, and they can't say anything because they're entrapped in it, and they're just beating on the cage, and you can't hear anything because it's soundproof. That's
I got one better for you. We do a debate, and the candidates interact among each other, and over at the desk and the podium, you have chimpanzees on ecstasy. And every now and then, one of them goes, and yes, Mr. Blitzer.
Bob, have you been watching Southland Tales?
No, I'm
have
just
you seen
that.
Yet?
No, I'm just that good.
Yeah, that should definitely.
Now, I have to ask you though, because we do all this pop culture stuff, David.
Yeah.
I don't know how long you were listening, but did you see over the weekend that they are going to begin marketing Brondo?
Who now?
Remember Brondo?
No.
The energy sports beverage from Idiocracy?
Oh, yeah. They're marketing that?
Yeah.
It is called that?
Yeah. The Thirst Mutilator.
The Thirst Mutilator? And did Mike Judge pick up the name or something? Is it a joke or is that?
No, I think the people at Fox are. I've snoped it to death and I can't find it. It was apparently a legitimate story. And
are the people at Fox Brain? Oh, excuse me.
Well, Fox produced Fox produced Idiocracy, and I guess they own the rights.
Oh.
And now they're going to start marketing Brondo.
They don't get the joke, Bob. They don't, or they just have that much contempt for the American public. Bingo.
Either way, you get the toaster, David.
Either way. Oh yeah, Bob. How's the before I go? How's the donations going?
It wasn't a hot weekend.
No other donations, huh?
We've had a couple.
Contributions, excuse me.
Yeah, we've had a couple roll in the last 3 days. Two.
Well, I guess you can.
Now that does not count the mailbox. So you know.
I guess you can send me one address. You might want to ask them before you do it, because they did. I did say that I would give them.
Well, I will, and I will.
Chocolate.
I will check with the individual and see if it's okay.
And this Friday, people, I will be giving something else away. I haven't decided what, but I'm sure it'll be worth something.
Cool. Very cool. Thanks, David.
All right, Bob. Later.
Later now. Yeah, it was a slow weekend. We're sort of poking at $500. Let's see where to go as we move toward winding out the night. Well, there's a couple of places I haven't, because it's just an icky thing. I haven't touched. John Lennon remembered. Yeah, that was December the 8th, and the day just kind of comes and goes. Wow. Just sort of hurts. But no, I haven't touched much on this business of the shootings in Colorado Springs. Because it's awful. 23-year-old Matthew Murray was the shooter. He was taken down by the church's armed guard. That's right, when you go to church at New Life Mega Church in Colorado Springs, you know that there's an armed guard. Kind of puts that whole faith in Jesus thing out of the way, doesn't it? The head preacher there, I guess the guy who replaced Ted Haggard after Ted Haggard got caught chasing meth and man-ass, a guy named Boyd Buddy Boyd, or I don't know. He says that, Brady Boyd, not Buddy Boyd, Brady Boyd. He said that the volunteer armed security guard probably saved hundreds of lives because the shooter had lots of ammunition. And he, two teenage girls, sisters, Rachel Works, 16 years old, and Stephanie Works, 18 years old, were gunned down in what Brother Brady Boyd, called a senseless random attack against which Jesus was apparently powerless. The story says the teens were sisters who were shot in the parking lot. You know, it's almost always fatal when you get shot in your parking lot. That's just bad journalism, folks. Brother Brady Boyd said she probably talking about the armed security guard who roams the halls of New Life Megachurch instead of sitting and praying and speaking in tongues and drinking strychnine and handling snakes with the rest of them. She probably saved over 100 lives. He also said the shooter simply showed up on our property yesterday with a gun with the intention of hurting people, and he did. Problem is, hundreds of lives were saved yesterday because of the plan that was put in place, he said. Because there had been a previous shooting, so they upped the security. You know, I would have thought that they would have upped the prayer. But that's me. But they upped the armed to the teeth security. And Brother Brady Boyd is in a tough spot because he can't thank God for the hundreds of lives that were saved, because then he'd be by default thanking God for the two that were ended and their daddy, who was critically wounded, shot in the legs. And it gives you pause. One, this will of course be parlayed by the everybody's forgotten the Omaha, Nebraska mall shooting now. It's all about the fundy shoot 'em up. And this will be used as a sympathy, and God, how can you not be sympathetic? But it will be dragged out like a little red wagon to support the thesis that Christians in America are under attack, which they aren't. But it makes you think. It really makes you think. Those little girls, I'm sure their daddy worried about them. I don't know, maybe he had a purity ball for them, you don't know. But I'm pretty sure he worried about them. Worried about them getting into the wrong stuff, 16 and 18 years old. You know how it is among the fundies. They assume that women bear the mark of Jezebel or Eve or Lilith or some bad woman. So he's worrying about them running with the good crowd, and he figured as long as they were in church on Sunday that they'd be okay. God is, in fact, a God of irony when you consider that had they had a Saturday night sleepover with some friend's house and slept in, that poor man would still have two daughters.
Sunday morning, the church bell rings, the organ plays and the choir sings. Where am I while the preacher speaks? Dreaming dreams between my sheets asleep. Waking up and trying to think, oh, what went down? Hey, what do we do? I rub my eyes and shake my head.
yes, and I feel the sun. Plane takes off on the old runway. Snow fell light on the ground today. Lost an hour I'd gained before, flying back to my New York door. Fare thee well, adios adieu. Yes, and best of luck to all of you. I ain't no saint and I don't pretend to be, but I hope you all found a friend in me. City lights blink and shine down below, let it change. It's often said that life is strange. Oh yes, but compared to what?
Often said that life is strange, yeah, but compared to what? Indeed. And of course, because the megachurch, rather than trusting in the providence of God and the saving grace of Christ Jesus, had an armed guard wandering around, I can guarantee you within the next 24 to 48 hours I will have no less than 3 interview pitches from a right-wing source inviting me to have some freak on who will say that America needs to be armed to the teeth. And how insane and sad that is. It's worth remembering, for instance, that the guy who did the shooting at the Nebraska Mall did so with a weapon that was barred from 1994 to 2004. Under the assault weapons ban. It was an AK-47, some variant thereon, the single most popular weapon on earth, Kalashnikov. And it's not worth a hoot at a distance. I mean, you're not going to take down Bambi with a scope with it. It's just that it's too inaccurate. I mean, you can, but it's not as if you were, no. But it's really great for close quarters slaughter. And in 2004, the no-good, soulless, godless, motherless, repig-licking Congress let that ban expire so that AK-47s and SKSs and Uzis and Tech-9s and yada, 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 and all this crap with banana clips could come back onto the market. Ask any honest-to-God, serious deer hunter that you know whether he would prefer a nice A-bolt Browning with a good scope on it, or whether he'd rather have some piece of junk buried in a vat of Cosmoline imported into the United States AK-47 for that next big hunt. Just ask. Because I know the answer. Because I hang out with people who are deadly in earnest, and I mean deadly, about their hunting. I know one guy that won't hunt with anything bigger than a 22. Because every time he draws down on a deer, he aims to put the bullet right through its brain, and he does. And he says anything bigger than a 22 is a waste of lead. But you know how it goes. The repig-lickins screamed that the assault weapons ban was infringing upon your right to stand up against the government. You know, the government that has the tanks and the mortars and the grenades and the bombs and the jets and the... yeah, that one. And as a consequence of that, families are broken and shattered in Omaha, and families are broken and shattered in Colorado Springs. And you know what? Jesus was nowhere in sight. He just wasn't. Because that's not his gig. He doesn't grow limbs back. He doesn't fix cleft palates. And he doesn't save little 16 and 18-year-old sisters, precious girls, from getting gunned down by a madman, because sooner or later, we are responsible for ourselves. And if we are so screwed up that we value a right to keep and bear arms, so to speak, over the right of a father to raise his daughters in peace, then we, by God, get everything coming to us, don't we? So, you know, gun freaks, what are you going to do? You got to remember, the gun owners of America and the National Rifle Association, what it boils down to is that their political and legislative position is such that they are willing to sacrifice your children so that they can have a gun whose only purpose is the slaughter of other human beings. Now, you can play it out any way you want to, but that's the way it ends. That's where it comes down. I mean, sometimes it's frustrating to be so doggone right on the air all the time, or correct, I should say. But I was, and I am. And lo and behold, there it was, just this last week, didn't get to it. But there's the news story. Let's not talk about the Omaha shooter being crazier than a sprayed roach and having access to a gun that was only intended to kill other humans. I quote, "America seems shocked that yet again a young man would pick up an assault rifle and murder his fellow citizens and then take his own life. This is what happened last night in Omaha, Nebraska." See, they didn't even wait 24 hours, where the 19-year-old Hawkins killed himself and eight other people with an assault rifle. Those lacking keen observation skills are quick to blame guns for this tragedy. Oh, really? I lack keen observation skills. I can observe that when I take an assault rifle that was meant to slaughter other human beings and squeeze the trigger, bullets come out at, 2,000-3,000 feet per second that are really, really hard on human flesh on the other end. But I lack keen observation skills. Why do I lack keen observation skills? Well, here's why. Others who are familiar with the history of such violent acts by young males instantly recognize a more sinister connection, a history of treatment with psychiatric drugs for depression and ADHD. That's the headline. Omaha shooter Robert Hawkins had been treated for ADHD depression. Now, the funny thing is, you can go all the way through this article and it won't tell you what he was treated with, how he was treated, or when he was treated. But it does have big diatribes against... there's a subheading, "The Criminals Running Modern Psychiatry. What could have healed Robert Hawkins and saved lives?" Robert Hawkins? What's the solution to all this? Robert Hawkins could have been healed with a radical change in diet that supports healthy brain chemistry. His parents or caretakers could have stopped the junk food, ended the medication, and put him on raw living foods and daily superfood smoothies. I don't know who this geek is. I believe in nutrition. I don't believe in it. It's not an article of faith. I know it works. Okay? But the fact of the matter is, I don't care how many damn smoothies you gave him, the gun was there! Speculating about what he did or didn't take or how he was or wasn't treated kinda misses the point. "Enormous evidence linking mind-altering drugs with violent acts." There might be, but you know what? Without the damn guns, he's going to go get a ball bat or a knife or a blowgun. or a slingshot? He's not going to be able to squeeze off a round at will every time he moves his index finger. It's going to take a little bit more work than that, and no matter how psychotic he is, there's going to be a little bit more brain activity involved in the process. Superfood smoothies. The author is a natural health author and technology pioneer with a passion for teaching people how to improve their health. I can improve a... I guess I can go back and have a browse. I guess probably the shooter in Colorado Springs needed a super fruit Julius whatever. He may be 100% correct, this guy. But until you strap the entire repig-licking contingent of the United States onto boards and just put a garden hose down their throat and pump the fruit smoothies to them, we stay screwed. That's just how it is. It's the access to guns that create problems. Handguns? I found an account. I was just a little curious. I found an account earlier today. The Black Watch guards that were sent over in the American Revolution, they were sent over with pistols and sabers. They ditched the pistols and the sabers post-haste. The pistols and swords carried by the privates had been laid aside during the campaign of 1776. The former were considered of no advantage. The latter impeded the progress of the men through the thick woods. So you can't tell me that the framers of the Constitution were thinking about handguns that could be fired as quickly as one could pull the trigger. But try to tell that to one of these otherwise strict constructionist right-wing freaks of a Supreme Court justice. It ain't going to happen. So that's where we close for the night. Thanks, everybody, for your calls, your emails. Thanks for sitting and just screaming at the speakers, if that's what helps the most. Thank you for joining us in the chat room at headonradionetwork.com. Thanks for blogging. Thanks for being part of the rejuvenation of the American dialogue. Coming up, Strictly Godbold, Strictly Confidential with Peter Godbold. I may be as tired as he is. I don't know. That's a hell of a note for a Monday. But anyway, that's on its way. And look, I'll try to do a horn section even if I have to do it by myself. We've made that commitment. Might as well stick with it. And always... always, always. Gina, RMR, it's all for you.
This is the Quality News Network. A conference call between political powers from around the world will be conducted tomorrow. The final text of a third resolution from the United Nations containing sanctions against Iran will be discussed. That's according to Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice. A vote on the matter is due sometime next week. Iraqi leaders are asking the United Nations to extend the mandate for U.S. forces for one more year. Iraq says it will be the last extension needed and may then again ask to end the extension early. U.S. troops would then stay beyond the current mandate of December 2008. The growing use of U.S.-backed neighborhood police units is being credited with a recent decline in violence. In Baghdad this morning, a mortar attack on an Iraqi prison killed at least seven inmates. In Bali, the head U.S. negotiator at the world's largest climate change conference says next year the White House will reveal its own plan for reducing greenhouse gas emissions. America and China are the top polluters in the world. They'll continue to oppose mandatory caps by the year 2020. Former Vice President Al Gore picked up the 2007 Nobel Peace Prize in Stockholm, Sweden today. He won the award along with the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change for their work in establishing the science of climate change and what it may mean for humanity and the natural world. A deadly ice storm cut through the Midwest, closing down highways and airport runways. Widespread power outages are reported. As many as 10 people have been killed because of the storm. Investigators in Colorado are trying to determine whether two weekend shooting sprees at evangelical churches are related. 10 people were shot in Sunday's deadly attacks. 5 people died, including the gunman in the second assault, who was killed by a security guard. He has been identified through court records as 24-year-old Matthew Murray. Former media mogul Conrad Black was sentenced to 6.5 years behind bars today. Black, convicted of obstruction of justice and of defrauding shareholders at Hollinger International. Former star NFL quarterback Michael Vick, sentenced to 23 months in prison today. Vick reported to prison late last month after admitting to involvement in an illegal dogfighting ring. You're listening to the Quality News Network. We'll take a break. Be right back.
Civility takes an effort. It requires that people remember that relationships need our attention. Whether we are talking about our most important personal relationships, how we get along with our colleagues, or the way we interact with strangers, it is what we contribute that defines the results. Even when the other people are not prepared to give their best selves, what we put in determines what we get out. Ralph Waldo Emerson suggested, "We must be as courteous to a man as we are to a picture, which we are willing to give the advantage of a good light." This is the essence of civility. When we are civil to strangers, when we defer at the intersection instead of racing out ahead, when we hold the door for someone we don't know, when we smile at someone who catches our eye, we declare our choice for a civilized society. For more information, click on the Civility button on our website, QualityNewsNetwork.com.
The launch of the space shuttle Atlantis has been postponed until next month. A critical fuel gauge failed yesterday, delaying the shuttle's takeoff for a third straight time. The South Korean government has declared a state of disaster for a coastal area hit by Friday's oil spill of some 2.7 million gallons of crude. The UN sent out its annual request to governments today to assist in alleviating humanitarian crises in 2008. Although the Sudan is highlighted as the most in need of aid, 24 countries are also listed. The UN estimates it needs $3.8 billion for that single